97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti on this sweltering hot Sunday. I'll be here with you until 8 o'clock this evening, and I really hope that you're not spending a lot of time out there in the heat going air condition to air condition. If you have to work out there in this heat, I feel for you, man. I stood outside waiting for security to let me in this building for about 10 minutes, and I was dying. That's the longest I spent out there. You want to just jump in a pool. You want to go to shore. You want to be somewhere and stay cool. We're going to heat it up on this show as we get ready for this is the final Sunday. It's the final Sunday here without football until February, or at least you hope in Philadelphia until February. You hope that the Eagles can take you to another Super Bowl, a long playoff run, and another Super Bowl. So as they get ready to kick off training camp this week, we're going to do a lot of Phillies conversation. Tyler Goldberg in here taking your calls at 610-632-0975. We'll get into the Phillies as Drew Smyly gives them seven strong innings. The Phillies split with the LA Dodgers, and they're 1-1 in the seventh against Pittsburgh. If you don't beat the Pirates and win a series and take two out of three from the Pirates, you don't even deserve to be in the playoffs. You don't even deserve to have a playoff run. They've played some horrific baseball. They've shown you some signs of life, splitting a series against the Dodgers, especially bouncing back after that 16-2 embarrassing loss. And they're right there, still right there in the wild card chase at a half game out, but you got to beat the bad teams, and they haven't been able to beat Miami this year much, and here they are against the Pirates, and they're struggling to get a series win, so we'll keep you updated on that. But I want to get into some Eagles football, and I heard Joe Stazak talking about Super Bowl or bust, and I was thinking to myself, like, my expectations for this team coming off a Super Bowl 2 years ago, and as stocked as they are, as much talent as this team has right now, my expectation is that the Eagles are going to be a contender for the Super Bowl. And Vegas got them at 10.5 wins over under. You got the Cowboys to contend within the NFC East, but they are a legit Super Bowl contender in the NFC. Eagles and Cowboys in the East. You still have the Rams. You have the Saints. We'll see how the Packers are, because as long as they have Aaron Rodgers, there's some good teams in the NFC, but there's no runaway dominant over and above the team that you think is going to be easily in a Super Bowl. It's a tough competitive NFC. It's going to be a tough competitive AFC too. And that's the great thing about football. Is you don't go into a season and say, okay, this team, unless it's the New England Patriots, you always pencil them in for at least the AFC championship. But even in the AFC, there's still going to be some strong competition, especially with the Kansas City Chiefs, and now that Tyreek Hill is going to be playing. But as I look at the Eagles and I get ready for me, training camp is like the end of summer vacation. Covering the team now, going into, what is this going to be? This is going to be season number 20. 2000 would have been, season number 20 that I've covered the Eagles for AP. It's kind of like summer's over. Here comes training camp. And at least it's not two-a-days like it used to be back in my early tenure covering this team. And it's not trips to Allentown and Lehigh and all that. No, it's right down to the NovaCare. Best thing that Chip Kelly did for this organization. But as I think of this team and as good as they can be, the expectation level for me fully is a Super Bowl, or I don't think I can consider it a successful season. Now, there's a lot that goes into it. Injuries are certainly a big factor, and you don't know if they stay healthy, and you got to qualify it. If they stay healthy, my expectation is this is a team that should be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. So I want to ask you, and we're going to turn this, Tyler's going to turn it into our Twitter poll question at 97.5 The Fanatic. What are your expectations? What do you consider for this Eagles team, what will you consider a successful season? And I'm going to start with an NFC East title. They didn't win it last year. Cowboys won their second title in 3 years with Dak Prescott. So at the very least, an NFC East title. Would you consider that a successful season for the Eagles? Or a playoff win? Now, they got in as a wild card last year, needed help, got in at 9-7, got in on the final day of the season, won a playoff game, and were in position to win another one in advance to the NFC title game. So, is one playoff win enough? Would you consider that a successful season for the Eagles? Or an NFC championship? Do they have to get to the Super Bowl? I don't care how they do it to get there, but win the NFC title. Whether it's as a wild card and you win on the road and you get to the Super Bowl, or whether you earn a one or a two seed and win at home and get to the Super Bowl. Do they have to get to the Super Bowl? Or number four, the fourth option is going to be a Super Bowl title or bust. As Joe was talking about earlier, a Super Bowl title or bust. And I'm looking at it, and I really wonder, what are going to be the results? See, a lot of times we put out these polls and we ask you these questions, and I have a feeling which way it's going to go, and I think it's going to lean one way. Oftentimes, I feel like, okay, I know it's going to lean maybe 70-80% this direction or 85% that direction. But with this particular question here, the obvious answer is, well, Super Bowl title or bust. But really, is that really what you would consider a successful season? I'm interested because you hear callers and you hear people who say often, well, a few years ago, we would have given up a decade or 5 years or 3 years or whatever it is just to have one Super Bowl championship. We would have given up anything just to have one Super Bowl title. Well, you got it. You got it 2 years ago. And I know last year, I did shows here leading into training camp, throughout training camp, going into the season. I sensed a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover among the fan base, and I even sensed it in the locker room. And I talked about one particular show late in August. I talked about when they had the banner, the sign that said champion, Super Bowl 52 champions taken down from inside the locker room. And I thought, like, that's a bad sign. Why are you even looking at that? And as it played out, there was certainly a Super Bowl hangover, and there were some injuries, and Carson started on the season on the sideline, missed the first two games, and then was working his way back, and it took till week 17, final game of the season, for them to get in, and they needed some help to do it. But there was absolutely a Super Bowl hangover among the fan base, and I think within a certain amount of guys in that locker room. But this is different now. Now we're a year removed from it, and the guys who went through the championship, there's several of them that are gone, and Chris Maragos announces his retirement. I know Chris Maragos didn't play in the Super Bowl because he got hurt in Carolina on that Thursday night game in October of that season. But he was one of those guys who was a really strong leader for this team, and he's going to be missed because he was a guy who really showed a lot of veteran leadership. He was somebody who did things all the time the right way, and he was a guy that some of the guys can go to, not just the secondary, not just defensive backs, and not just guys on special teams. He was the captain of special teams, but he was a guy, had a great relationship with Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz and some of the guys on offense too. So he's going to be missed, and I'm certainly going to miss seeing him in a locker room, and he's definitely going to be one of those guys that you feel. And last year he didn't play the entire season, but you're going to feel, those guys are going to feel his presence being missed for sure. But there's a lot of players on this team that aren't back, so this is a And there's a lot of new faces here. There's some old faces that are back, like DeSean Jackson. And when I think about some of the excitement for this season, and you think about DeSean Jackson, and you think about Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders, and what the offense can do, and I know there's some holes on defense, but what do you consider? What will you consider a successful season for these Philadelphia Eagles as we get ready to kick off training camp in 4 days and get ready for the grind, the hot summer practices? I'm glad that the weather's going to cool down a little bit. It's going to go from 100 to early 90s, maybe. It's going to be high 80s. Yeah, high 80s. Even 77 on Tuesday. That's going to be great with some rain, but they don't start practice till Thursday. It's back up to 85, but you don't want those guys out there in 100 degrees. And I know that Doug Peterson will maybe take them for ice cream or something instead of that. But what are your expectations, and what will you consider a successful season for this Philadelphia Eagles team? 610-632-0975. Today is Hall of Fame Day in Cooperstown, and I am privileged to be a Hall of Fame voter. So we will have some conversation about the Hall of Fame, and congratulations to Jason Stark for getting in. I served five years as the president of the Philadelphia chapter of the Baseball Writers Association. And probably the best thing that I did in those 5 years, because you don't do much other than assign voters for awards and just different things like that. But the best things I did was nominated Paul Hagan for the Hall of Fame, and we got him in. Bill Conlon as well, before we knew about some of the troubles from his past, and got him in first, and then Paul Hagan. And then started the process, nominated Jason Stark, and I think the first time I did that was 09 or 2010, whatever it was. And it took too long to get him in. He should have been in there a decade ago, but a very well-deserved congratulations to Jason Stark for being the in the Hall of Fame, and his speech was yesterday. Roy Halladay, of course, Edgar Martinez, Mariano Rivera, Mike Messina. So we'll get into that a little bit. We have some Fanatic Fan Fest tickets to give out, and we'll tie them in to a little bit of the conversation about some of the guys that you wish would have spent more time here, like Roy Halladay, who had two great seasons here in Philly and two tough ones, and he's all obviously gone too soon. So 610-632-0975. Rich in Philly is going to be my leadoff hitter and kick it off on this Sunday afternoon. Rich, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? I've been listening to, you know, all week, Mike, everybody, Tyrone, everybody that's on there, man. I appreciate you guys. One thing I want to say, though, is I just don't understand how people aren't, especially, you know, Eagles fans aren't amped up about this year's season. Like, I don't get it. Like, yeah, I mean, I'm very, very excited about this year. And like I said, even if we don't, I'm not expecting a Super Bowl, but Carson's got a lot of weight on the shoulders this year, and I think he's going to perform well. I think, you know, everything's going to go with the season. The only thing that I really am just a little concerned about is play calling, to be honest with you. You know, if they get the play calling and they understand who they got on the field, and they understand, you know exactly what people are at, or what plays they have on the field are doing at certain times, I think everything will be good. The defense looks great. Offense is going to be in just crazy. And I just don't understand how people aren't really fired up this season about it. I don't get it.
Well, I think a little bit of that is that it's still July, and they haven't even started training camp, Rich. And I think the excitement will get there once we start seeing the guys out there, even though it'll be shorts and shells and it's not really pads. And once they get into the pads and they start hitting each other, they don't hit each other as much like they used to. I think there'll be more excitement, Rich. But you said you're concerned about the play calling. Now,
yes.
What concerns you about the play calling? Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson's established himself,
so
right?
Peterson. I love Peterson. I like that he takes the chances that other coaches are afraid to do. That 4th-and-2, 4th-and-3, 4th-and-1, man, like, come on, especially when you're in a, you know, either in the red zone or something like that, you're in, you know, you're a good position that even if you miss that, they're still deep in their own territory. I like that call because, you know what, sometimes that 3 points, It could make or break a game, but, you know, I like the fact that he's willing to do that. But last year's play calling at times seemed very suspect. Very suspect, and it seemed like nobody really had a great idea on what they were really doing.
Well, I think, Rich, at times last year, there was a tendency to depend too much, as they do in this NFL, and I appreciate the call, man. Have a great day. On the pass, and there were times where we thought, you know what, don't move away from the run game so early, and don't st- – I think which game? It might have been – might have been the Tennessee game where I just thought they could have run the ball a little bit more. There was another one, maybe it was the Carolina game where they had the lead in the fourth quarter and they had an opportunity to maybe work on the clock a little bit and run the ball a little bit more, and instead they were going three and out and passing the ball. So I think sometimes, and that is what the NFL has turned into. It's such a strong passing league. It's beyond 60-40. It's like 65-35. But overall, as I look at Doug Peterson as a play caller, I wouldn't have too much concern. I love his aggressiveness. Sometimes he's aggressive to a fault. Sometimes he's not. Sometimes he'll take gambles and take risks where we think it's not warranted. But I'm willing to give Doug Peterson, a Super Bowl champion play caller, the benefit of the doubt. However, I do like to see him sometimes not be as heavily reliant on the pass. Now, you look at this team and you look at how they lost running backs last year. It's a different running back group, and Darren Sproles is coming back now. And I know some people were questioning whether or not he's going to be guaranteed a roster spot. I don't think Darren Sproles comes back to this team at all. If he doesn't know for sure, he's making a roster. Like, it would have to take an injury-plagued preseason training camp for Darren Sproles not to be on this roster. But you look at Jordan Howard's addition, drafting Miles Sanders, Corey Clement coming back, and they still have Wendell Smallwood and Josh Adams, who actually led the team in rushing last year, and Danelle Pumphrey. So it's going to be very interesting to see whether or not they carry four or five, and you would think they're going to carry five at this point, but which five it's going to be. So it's a different running back group for sure. There's a lot of weapons on offense. This is a team that has the potential to have a dynamic offense, and Rich said that some people aren't as excited. Yeah, I don't sense the excitement level, because it's the middle of summer. It's the middle of July. It's 100+ degrees out there where it's sweltering heat, and it's hard to get fired up about football right now. But here we are 4 days away, and I think once we get to seeing that, people will be more excited. So what are you looking at for this season as far as the Phillies, as far as the Eagles, and considering it successful? Do they have to win a Super Bowl? Does Carson Wentz, if Carson Wentz goes to the playoffs, starts a playoff game, and wins a playoff game, will you be satisfied and content to say, okay, that was a successful season? Now, I know you got to go through the rigors of the 16-game season. And if you start losing guys, I think at the end of last year, the way they got in, going into last year, everybody's talking about repeat. But the way they struggled, the way they got in, Carson going down again, needing a lot of help, and in some ways almost a miracle to get in when you have a team that has nothing to play for in the Bears beating the Minnesota Vikings on the road in the final game of the regular season. A team has everything to play for. That's a lot of help. That's a lot of help. And then, of course, the Eagles had to do their part, and they did, to get in. I don't think last year people were calling the season a failure, even though they fell short of the repeat goal. But this year, going into this season, what would you look at and say is a successful season? What will you look at and say is a satisfactory season for you? 610-632-0975. Ready got a good answer on this one for players that you wish, like a Roy Halladay, players like Roy Halladay, who you wish would have spent more of their career here in Philadelphia. And when the Phillies went out and acquired Roy Halladay after the 2009 season. He came in here in 2010. We remember the perfect game. We remember the no-hitter in his first ever postseason start. I was lucky enough, fortunate enough to cover that one. He wins 21 games in 2010. He wins 19 games in 2011. And then he struggled. He struggled through 2012. He was 11-8, but he had an ERA of 4.49, which was his highest in over a decade. And then, of course, in 2013, he had a very tough season. Only pitched 13 games, 6.82 ERA, and then called it quits. He had to retire after that. This is a guy who threw a lot of innings, completed a lot of games. You look at some of those numbers. 7, 9, 9, 9, 8 complete games, 67 career complete games, and you're not going to see that at all anymore in baseball. But when I think of Roy Halladay, I go, that's a guy that I wish I could have seen more, spend more of his time playing here in Philadelphia, more of his career, the bulk of his career. There's a guy who is on my list, who's my number one guy, that we'll give out an instant pair of Fanatic Fan Fest tickets for, if you can guess him. But if you have other players, that's how we'll qualify you for those Fanatic Fan Fest tickets. So we're going to talk a lot of Eagles at the start. What would you consider a successful season for this 2019 Philadelphia Eagles team as they get ready to kick off training camp in 4 days? And which player who did play here in Philadelphia do you wish would have spent more time here in this city, a bulk of his career, a majority of his career? It didn't have to be his entire, but would have had more of his better season, his best seasons here in Philadelphia. 610-632-0975. I'm Rob Motti.
North Philadelphia.
97.5. The Fanatic.
Rob Motti Show with you today, this afternoon, 610-632-0975. We already started the poll, and we have almost 600 votes in just a little bit over 10 minutes. And Super Bowl title or bust is the leader at 46%, but NFC Championship is at 41%. So those two are going to probably be neck and neck. 8% of NFC East champions and 5% say one playoff win. So
no pressure, Carson.
Yeah, right? No pressure whatsoever. It's going to be interesting to see which one ends up as the winner here. But I want to have these conversations today because it's hard to go into a season in the NFL and say, hey, if they don't win a Super Bowl, it was a failure of a year. To win, it's not easy to win a Super Bowl. We know that. They've won one in the 50-plus years of existence. They've only won one Super Bowl. It's not, you got to stay healthy. And they even showed you when they did win it, they didn't stay healthy. They lost their quarterback, their captain on offense, their captain on defense, on special teams, and found a way to win it. You got to be playing good football at the end of the season and in January. It's not easy. So it's difficult to say going into a year that unless they win a Super Bowl, it's a failure of a season. But I'm interested to see what you have to say. Let's go to Steve in Westchester. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Steve?
What's going on? How you doing?
How are you, buddy?
Doing great. So I'm kind of an outsider living on the inside in Philly for the last 10 years. I'm a Giants fan, but kind of hard to look at the NFL as a winnable landscape right now. So my father-in-law is a season ticket holder with the Eagles. I go to a lot of Eagles games. So I feel like I have a pretty good handle on the fan base. So
when you go, like, Steve, when you go to the Eagles games, are you going in Eagles gear or are you still wearing Giants gear?
I'm usually wearing, you know, just whatever clothes.
It's neutral colors. Really, okay.
Typically, yeah. I mean, I don't want
to. Smart move.
Yeah, I create drama for the ticket holder owners.
Yes, exactly.
But, you know, honestly, like, I would consider a success like a season where Carson Wentz remains healthy, makes all the plays you want to see him make. And I think NFC Championship would be considered a success. I think if they make it to the second round, that would be great. I would be concerned if they were a wild card and lost that or just sneaked by like a game like that. You know, obviously everything clicked when they got the Super Bowl. It's a lot for any team to overcome, but I would consider that a success going forward for the franchise and Carson Wentz and ownership if he could just, you know, maintain the stats and come close to what he did in 2017. Not, maybe not exactly, but, you know, all the good stats you want to see from a quarterback.
Steve, I think, yeah, everybody would agree on the one thing in that Carson getting to the playoffs, starting a playoff game, and winning a playoff game is like the baseline of what everybody wants to see this year. You have a player that you wish you would have seen longer in Philadelphia play a majority of his career here?
I mean, if someone didn't say T.O., I would be shocked if he isn't your isn't your answer, but I'm going to guess that he is. I can't think he's a not, sixer or anyone else.
Yeah, T.O.'s not my instant winner,
really?
But he's on my list, though. He's absolutely on my list, and he was one of the first ones that was guessed when I put this question out on Twitter. So hang on, Steve. Tyler's going to get your information. We'll let you know at the end of the show if you win a pair of Fanatic Fan Fest tickets. But T.O., no doubt, is one of those guys that you look at and you say you wish he played a majority of his Hall of Fame career here and not just one and a half seasons, because those one and a half seasons were fabulous, fantastic, phenomenal, exceptional, helped the Eagles get the number one seed and get to the Super Bowl, even though he missed the two playoff games that they did win, but then came back and was terrific in the Super Bowl and would have been Super Bowl MVP most likely had they won that Super Bowl. So that is, he's definitely one of the guys who is on my top 10 list. Let's get to Jesse and Radnor. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, yeah, I mean, I'm from Philly. I'm bleed green. I moved up to New York. I'm in financial sales, and as any good salesman, you like to build rapport quickly as possible with these prospects. And I used, my go-to is always talking Philly sports, but you know, obviously up in New York, I keep that under wraps. It kills me. But anyway, I'm trying to build rapport, not destroy it and lose a deal over talking Eagles football up in New York. But I would say this, I don't think Super Bowl or bust. Like, listen, we got our chip 2 years ago. I'm fired up for the season more than anybody else right now. But it's like, if Carson stays healthy, we make a great run, and we get to the actual Super Bowl and lose in like a tough game, like, I can't see that as a boss, right?
And that's what Tyler, my producer, was telling me during a break. He said the same thing. It's so difficult to win that one final game that if you get there and something crazy happens in it, it's hard to look at it and say that was a failure of a season.
Yeah, my main thing is like, let me see Carson stay healthy. Let me see him make some strides and running out of the pocket a little bit more smarter. Like Russell Wilson somehow dies. Like he scrambles all the time, but he's smart about it. Like I need to see a little bit more of that. And I'm really stoked. I mean, our offense on paper is just like out of control. You know, the defense should be there. There's a little bit of more question marks there than the offense, but it's an offensive league. These days, like, I really think we're poised to make a great run. There is a lot of weight on Carson's shoulders, but if anyone can do it, I think he's the guy. So, you know, I'm fired up. And if I had to pick one player, you know, to have stayed longer, I know he started his career as Steve Dog, even to go to Denver and do it on 30 like that was just heartbreaking. I would have loved to him stay in Philly.
And just end his career here? That's a good one. I mean, he gave you most of his successful seasons here in Philadelphia. It was tough to see him. He's one of those guys, Jesse, where you think about and you go, I can't imagine him in any other uniform, and yet we had to see that for 3 years.
We had to see it. You know,
he loved it so much out there. He lives there now in the office. You know, his family moved out there. So that's a good one, man. I appreciate the call, Jesse. You have a great rest of the week, and that's a great philosophy that he has in sales. He's working up in New York, and he's a big-time Eagles fan and Philadelphia sports fan, but he's not talking that to the people. Yep, you got to build a good rapport, maybe, but, hey, talk Yankees or talk Le'Veon Bell and New York Jets, whatever's gonna get you ingratiated in them. He mentioned how Russell Wilson can scramble and then go down and slide. Russell Wilson's perfected the feet-first slide because he was a baseball player. Wasn't he drafted, I believe, by the Colorado Rockies? And he knows how to go in feet-first, slide like he's breaking up a double play. Just go down, slide feet-first, and completely out of harm. He's out of harm. Then that's what we want to see out of Carson Wentz. Get the first down and go out. Get the first down, go out of bounds, get the first down, go down, live to play another down, live to play another series. John and Gladwin, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, Rob?
Fantastic, buddy.
I heard some comments earlier today that I don't agree with. One was if the Eagles don't win the Super Bowl, you got to think about trading Carson Wentz. He may not even be the reason that they don't get to the Super Bowl. He may play well and may not get there. So
yeah, was that a caller? Like,
yeah,
I don't know how. I don't know how you could pin that one. He could get to the Super Bowl and throw like Tom Brady did and lose 500 yards, and you're not blaming Tom Brady for that loss either. So
yeah.
I think people who want to here's the deal with Carson Wentz. He's here and he's here to stay. They gave him a big time extension. He's not going anywhere. So anybody who wants to see him out of Philadelphia, if he doesn't produce a championship in a year or two, you're not going to get your wish.
Yeah. Now the other thing was Sudfeld. I don't think we really know what he is yet, but we're going to get a good look in training camp. He does have an arm. He is mobile. And I would think the 2 years that he's been sitting here watching these playoff games and whatnot, that he's learned a few things. So we're going to get a good look. Maybe he's a little better than we think he is.
John, he's shown some glimpses in training camp and in the little bit that he's played in the regular season. He's a guy who they liked enough to put on the roster, not the practice squad, but the roster 2 years ago when they picked him up from the Redskins, and they didn't want to lose him. They didn't want him to go. I believe it was the Colts at the time wanted to snag him. So it's definitely key to develop a good backup quarterback, and they did bring in Kessler as insurance just in case.
Now here's the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Sproles.
Yeah.
People calling up, complaining his age, this and that. Were they watching the same games toward the end of the year when he came back that I was? He was effective.
When he's healthy, John, he's still fast, he's still quick, and he's still effective. The key thing for him is to stay healthy and be available.
Right. And he can still return punts. So,
which is
unless he took a big
important
step back, the games he played toward the end of the year, he was effective. And he's not guaranteed to be on the team because they're bringing him back. He probably will.
Yeah, I don't think, and John, I appreciate the call. I don't think he comes back if he doesn't know for certain. He's not fighting. At his age, he's not fighting for a roster spot. If he's healthy, he's on the team. Bottom line, if he's healthy, he's going to be on the team. And when he's healthy, he's still effective. And there you go. You have a sure-handed punt returner, a guy who maybe can break one, but he's definitely an experienced, veteran, sure-handed punt returner. And he can be in 5, 6, 7 touch range on offense, very, very effective. So people complaining about Darren Sproles, I don't get it. You had room for him. You bring him in, and if it doesn't work out, he's injured, and then he's on the IR and somebody else steps in. 610-632-0975. What would you consider a successful year for your Philadelphia Eagles, and which players do you wish you would have had a chance to see more of in Philadelphia? A bulk of their career played in Philadelphia. They had to have played here, and it could have been a year, it could have been 5 years, but you wanted to see more of them, a majority of their career in Philadelphia. 610-632-0975. I'm Rob Motti on The Fanatic. Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti. 610-632-0975. Molly says, makes an excellent point about a successful season. Says, I don't want to say, and she tweeted at me, at Rob Motti, I don't want to say making the Super Bowl is the only way for it to be considered a successful season. There are other factors in the sense of successful season. Does Wentz stay healthy? Does Sidney Jones finally show what he's got? Do you solidify a running back core for the future? Excellent points. And she said there are other factors that could change her standard of what I consider success as the season plays out. But as of now, NFC Championship game. So she's at NFC Championship game. It's hard. It's difficult to go into a season and say, well, anything less than a Super Bowl is a failure. That's it. That's all you're going to, you have nothing less than a Super. Now, I know those years when they were going to the NFC title game in 2001 and 2 and 3 and 4, after going and losing and going and losing and going and losing again in 04, it was, I think after two of them, by the third one when they lost to the Panthers, it was Super Bowl or bust. Nothing else would have been considered a successful season, and we didn't think anything was successful. And then when they got there and they didn't even win, it wasn't considered a successful season because they lost. They lost to the Patriots, but they finally got their Super Bowl 2 years ago. And now I kind of sense that the expectation levels have changed a little bit, and more fans would be more willing to accept a good year, playoff wins, a division title. You get Carson going to the playoffs, starting and playing in his first postseason game, winning. You get to see glimpses of some of the guys that are expected to be the future here, and whether it's Miles Sanders and maybe even Andre Dillard. If anything happens to Jason Peters, Sidney Jones steps up, and maybe you see some of the guys just solidify their future here, and you go, okay, well, this is a team that is still built. They're not built just for one season. They're built to win for a couple of years, and if they don't win it this year, you're willing to say, hey, it's still a great year and still a successful year. They just didn't get to the championship game. So that's what we're starting off with. Also want to know some of those players that you look at and you go, man, I wish I could have seen this guy play longer here in Philadelphia. I look at Roy Halladay, and it's great to see him go into the Hall of Fame. And you know what? And here's the cool thing about, and even though it's he passed away and he's definitely gone too soon, it's cool that his family gets to enjoy this experience. And it's unfortunate without him, but his wife delivers a terrific speech. She's done a great job, and every time that she's had to speak since his passing, and I know it's emotional and it's tough to see, but Roy Halladay was a guy who was here for 4 years. Philadelphia fans, Phillies fans absolutely adored him. He had two great seasons, and then that was really it. He struggled through a third year, and his fourth year was the end. And in his career, he was finished really at age 36. That was it. He was finished at age 36, almost 2,800 innings caught up to him, 67 complete games. He's a guy who he probably, had he pitched here longer, may have helped the Phillies. And they didn't win in 09. They had Cliff Lee that season. They acquired him at the trade deadline. They were trying to get Roy Halladay. They couldn't make that happen. They got Cliff Lee, and Cliff Lee was terrific. Got to the postseason, won two games in the World Series, the only two that they won. But had they had Roy Halladay here for a little bit longer, some of those Cy Youngs that he won with the Blue Jays, if he had won them here in Philly, perhaps it could have changed some of those banners hanging down at Citizens Bank Park. So he's one of those guys you go, man, I wish I could have seen him longer. There's one guy on my list who he was here, then he was gone, then he was here again. So that's the only hint I'll give you, but that's the one that is my instant winner for a pair of Fanatic Fan Fest tickets. We've had T.O.'s been, I think, probably the first name that comes to many people's minds. Terrell Owens, you think of T.O., and you wish he played here longer than that 1.5 years. And had he been here longer, who knows what the Eagles could have accomplished. It took Andy Reid forever to finally acknowledge that they need wide receivers. It's unfortunate that Donovan McNabb, was winning playoff games and winning division titles and getting to the postseason, and he had no weapons at all. Tarin Small, Charles Johnson, Nay Brown, James Thrash, Todd Pinkston, these were his receivers in his first few years, and finally they got T.O. for him, and he had a career year, and the Eagles' offense was dynamic, and that's what I think this year's team could be like. I believe this year's offense could be dynamic, and they have a lot of talent. They have a tremendous amount of talent on offense, and you look at all the weapons that they have, the addition of DeSean Jackson, bringing in Jordan Howard, and drafting Miles Sanders, and even a guy like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is a rookie who you look at and you think, well, maybe he can be somebody who's used as a weapon inside the red zone. And I think I'm expecting a big year out of Dallas Goedert too. And Zach Ertz, just knowing Zach and having conversations with him, as good as he was last year, setting the record for most catches, as great as he was last year, he wants to take his game to an even other, another level, which is insane and incredible to think about, but that's the kind of guy that he is. So there's a lot of hope for this team on offense. The question mark, I think, on for the Eagles, the biggest question mark is going to be on defense. Do they have enough? Can they make up for some of the losses? And I believe losing Michael Bennett is a big loss on the defensive line. And Chris Long didn't come back either, but I think he's a little bit more replaceable than a guy like Michael Bennett. And Jordan Hicks, losing Jordan Hicks, allowing him to walk away and sign with the Arizona Cardinals. They went out and they added Zach Brown at linebacker. I know you only they only use two linebackers nowadays, and it's a little bit different. It's, the emphasis isn't on linebackers like it used to be. So with Nigel Bradham playing most of the time, and then Zach Brown and Kamu Grugier-Hill, I think they'll be okay there, but I still look at there's more question marks for sure on defense there is on offense. So we could get into that too over the course of the next few hours. Not just what do you consider a successful season for the Philadelphia Eagles, how far do they have to go? What do they have to accomplish this year for you to call it a successful season? But what do you look at going into the year as the biggest question mark, and what are you most excited about going into this season? I can't wait to see DeSean Jackson, not in practice blown by guys, but in a game. I know he's been in the NFL now for a decade. He's still got that speed. And when I talked to Carson about DeSean Jackson, his eyes lit up, man. And it wasn't just about his speed, but it was also about how he's been a little different this time around. And I think that speaks well to his maturity and what he can do for this team going forward. 610-632-0975. Dan, hang on. I get to you next. Rob Motti on The Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station.
Welcome to The Fanatic family.
It's 5 p.m. on 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti. 610-632-0975. As you get ready for Eagles training camp to kick off this week, what do they have to do this season for you to consider this a successful year? Already over 1,100 votes in our first hour, and 45% say Super Bowl title or bust. 42 have them in the NFC, representing the NFC in the Super Bowl, winning NFC title for you to consider a successful season. Only 5% say one playoff win would be success, and only 8 say NFC East Championship. It's hard to go into a year thinking Super Bowl or bust, but that appears to be the expectations here for the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's hear what Dan in Mount Laurel has to say. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Rob. I would say NFC Championship, and not that they have to win it, but I think that getting there would be success because they would have advanced one more game than they did this past year. I do believe, though, that it's as much about the development of the young talent they have on this roster, because if you look at some of the players they've added over the last three drafts, and I'd even include Derek Barnett, Sweat, you know, Goddard, Arcega Whiteside,
Sidney Jones.
Honestly, I think Sidney Jones is just not going to pan out. I'm convinced
already.
And I will tell you, having watched cornerbacks over the years, he's not strong enough at this level, unfortunately. And while I think he can run, I don't think he's ever going to be strong enough to play and be successful at the pro level, unfortunately.
Well, a lot of people are going to hope you're wrong, and I know you hope you're wrong on that one, too.
I do hope I'm wrong, but...
He's still young. He's 6 foot, 181. We don't know what kind of, I'm interested to see what he's going to look like when he comes in. Did he bulk up a little bit? Did he add more weight? Is he stronger up top? But I believe that this is a crucial year for Sidney Jones and his development. I'm not ready to write him off just yet.
Yeah, I actually think he's at best, even if he plays, I think at his best level, I think he'll be the third best corner, maybe fourth on this team, believe it or not.
Well, now that you need a nickelback plays 60-70% of the snaps.
Yeah.
If he's not starting and he's a nickel, that's fine.
I would agree.
Right?
I mean, if he could be a starter and play those minutes and be successful, mm-hmm. Honestly, it was probably worth a gamble at that point. But I think for anyone expecting him to be like a all-pro shutdown corner for his career here, I just don't see it.
So you're saying a successful season for you, Dan, is get to the NFC title game.
That's correct. If they get there, even if they lost, and people that go back to the run we had with McNabb and Reed, what you have to remember is the NFC East as well as the NFC was weak at that time. To get back to the NFC championship game like every year, it's just unrealistic. And you also have to look at, when the year we won the Super Bowl, nobody thought that we were even going to get to the NFC championship game, quite frankly.
Yeah, a lot of things broke right for them that year.
Yeah, let's just enjoy the season and see how things go and what develops.
You got it, Dan. I appreciate the call.
Hey, can I take a guess?
Yeah, you got a player?
Yeah, I think you were talking about Jeremiah Trotter.
It was not, Jeremiah Trotter. That's a good one, though.
Okay.
That is definitely a good one, but it's not Jeremiah Trotter. Thank you. I appreciate the call. Hector Neris just pitches out of a bases loaded jam and gets the Phillies 2 extra innings. A huge, huge line drive, bases loaded, that is caught by Nick Williams in left field. And here's the Phillies struggling to get to extra innings. They've scored 2 runs and they have 7 hits in the past 2 games against Pittsburgh. And I said it at the top of the show and I'll say it again now. If you can't take 2 out of 3 from the Pittsburgh Pirates, you don't deserve to be in a postseason. It's ridiculous that this team's got to struggle to get through. And we talk about the pitching. Well, Drew Smyly gives them 7 strong. He went 7 strong innings today. Allowed, 3 hits, 1 run. Struck out 6 innings. He went 6 innings, allowed 4 hits, 1 run, struck out 8 in 6 innings. And there's a guy who came in here with an ERA in the 8s. He gives up 1 run. The bullpen goes 3 innings, and you're still struggling to get a W in extra innings. Be nice to see the 3 4-hitters, one of them hit a home run. It would be nice to see if the 3 or 4 hitter can hit a home run. For Rhys Hoskins, it has been 1 home run in his last 17 games. And for Bryce Harper and all the hustle that he's been giving him lately, he's gone deep once in his last 14 games. Once. He still, though, however, has a 17-15 lead. I like to give you the weekly update. Freddie Galvis hasn't gone deep since the All-Star game, and neither has Bryce, I don't believe. Did Bryce go deep since the All-Star game? Yeah, he did. He hit a home run against the Dodgers, so that was his only one. That's when he took the 17-15 lead. So he's got a 17-15 lead in home runs over Freddie Galvis. At some point, I'm looking to see it go insurmountable. Phils are 3-4 in extra inning games. They got to get this W. 610-632-0975. We'll throw them into the mix here, too, as well. But the Eagles are getting ready to kick off training camp. And it, as as crazy as it sounds going into a season, to think that it's got to be a Super Bowl title or it's not a success. But I think that's where most of the mindset is. And I was interested in hearing what the fan base thought as we get ready for training camp to kick off. I was interested to hear whether or not you think that's what it has to be. And so far, it's overwhelming in our Twitter poll at 97.5, the Fanatic, that you think it's got to be a Super Bowl title. Not just get there, but a title or bust for it to be a successful season. I want to hear from you on that. And as we get ready for training camp and we get ready to kick that off and all the practices, and I know there's only the one that fans are able to go to at the link this year, which is kind of disappointing for a lot of people who can't really get to the games and really just want to be able to see a practice, and now you got to even pay for that too. But as you're getting ready for all of that, and you look at some of the additions to this team, especially on offense, who are you most excited to see in training camp, in the preseason, before we even get to the season? Who are you most excited to see? And what do you think is the biggest question mark for this team? When I talk about most excited to see, you know, I think about Deshaun, and I know he's still got that speed left, but I also look at a guy like Jordan Howard, who they got for a sixth-round pick, and I look at a guy like that, and you know he had the 1,300 yards rushing and 11, and last year he was just under 1,000, and he's been in the end zone quite a bit, over 20 touchdowns in his career. I'm interested to see what Jordan Howard has. He only played three seasons with the Bears. It's not like he's an old running back on the downside of his career. This guy's 24 years old. 24 years old. He had 1,313 yards rushing as a rookie, 1,122 his second season, 935 last year. 24 touchdowns. Finds a way to get in the end zone. So I'm excited to see a little bit of Jordan Howard. And then Dallas Goedert, to me, I think, is a guy who is going to have a breakout year. I look at Dallas Goedert, and even though they have Zach Ertz, who is one of the best tight ends, a guy who's aspiring to be a Hall of Fame tight end, he's not satisfied with winning just a title. He's not satisfied with breaking a record. This is a guy who wants to be a Hall of Fame type player. Yet they have Dallas Goedert, and I think with the way that they can use two tight end sets and a lot of the different things that they can do, he's going to have a season. I believe Dallas Goedert's going to have a nice, nice breakout type year. He's going to be another weapon for this team this year. So who are you looking at? Who are you excited to see as training camp kicks off? And what do you think what do they have to accomplish this year for you to consider it a successful season for the Philadelphia Eagles?
I think Alshon gets a little lost too with all the new with all the new additions. Alshon gets a little lost in there, and this might be the first year that we've had him where he actually might be able to not get double teamed, because although we had like Torrey Smith, he might not necessarily be the deep threat that Deshaun is, so he may have some more one-on-one battles, just throw it up to him in the end zone and things like that.
Yeah, you're right, Tyler. You look at Alshon Jeffrey, and he gets lost in the mix. Deshaun's here, Jordan Howard's here, Miles Sanders, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and then you think of Alshon Jeffrey, and you go, hey, how about this guy? He's still here, and like you said, if the matchups present themselves to where he can get single covered, I'd throw to Alshon almost every time in single coverage. Just go up and get it. Go up and try and make a play. Now, the other thing we're asking people on this afternoon, this Hall of Fame induction afternoon in Cooperstown, if you had a chance, in honor of Roy Halladay, if you had to pick one guy, one player that you would have loved to see more of here in Philadelphia, a guy that you would have loved to see spend more of his career in Philly, a guy like Roy, who though he was here for 4 years, they were his final 4 years. Two of them were great. One was so-so, and one of them was the end of the road. Who are some of those guys that you wish you could have seen longer here in Philadelphia? T.O. is one of the most obvious ones out there, and if you get any of the guys that I put on my list, we'll qualify you for a pair of Fanatic Fan Fest tickets. Tyler, I'm going to want you to give it. You had a ton ton of them. So think on it for a little bit. And then I want you to give me one that you think is going to be tough for the folks out there to get. So don't give me one of the obvious ones. Give me one of the tougher ones, all right?
All right, yeah, I'll give you one in a couple minutes. Like, I'll give you one like each hour leading up till we get out of here.
Let's do that. I like that, Tyler. Let me get to Al in Freehold. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic. What's up, Al?
Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Awesome, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. So listen, I had, as far as my expectations for the Eagles, I feel every year we should want and should expect to win the Super Bowl.
Every year is a Super Bowl or bust year for you? Now, realistically, yeah. 2 years ago or 3 years ago, in Carson's rookie year, you couldn't have expected that.
Yeah. But you know what I was thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Does a New England Patriots fan expect to win the Super Bowl every year?
Yes, they do. I had this conversation and did this show last year, Al. When fans were, when I sensed a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover, and when the Eagles were taking the banner out of their locker room because they didn't want the year before to be a distraction, I was like, the Patriots don't worry about stuff like that. They're thinking Super Bowl or bust every year. You're right. That's the championship mentality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the way I think that we should be thinking. I think that we should have a champion's mentality, and every year we should be expecting to win the Super Bowl.
I can't argue with that mentality. Like, you want to develop that kind of championship attitude, that kind of dynasty that the Patriots have, where for them, if they don't make it to the AFC title game, their year is an abysmal failure. Now they've been there like 8 or 9 years in a row.
Yep, because that's a winner, and that's the way I want to be. I want to be a winner's mentality. A friend of mine told me years ago, he's a Giants fan, and this was like a couple years ago when everybody knew that they weren't going anywhere, and I asked him, what's your expectations? He said, my team's going to the Super Bowl. And he says, I'm a Giants fan, and I expect them to go to the Super Bowl every year. And that's the way I think that we should be thinking. We should have a championship mentality.
Well, they're in that position right now, Al, where the team is good enough to where those thoughts aren't outrageous. Those thoughts are right on. This is a team that has that kind of talent. Those expectations are realistic, and if you want to put the pressure on them and have them try and develop that kind of New England Patriot killer instinct and championship attitude, I can't argue that at all.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I will preface it by saying one thing. If Carson goes down, and God forbid Sudfeld goes down, I think during the season our expectations would have to change. Just like with a Patriots fan, if they lose Brady,
oh, forget
their
it.
Expectations are changing. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, Al, for you went if Carson and Nate Sudfeld go down. I say if Carson goes down, because we don't know that Nate Sudfeld is Nick Foles or anything close to it yet.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right, man. I appreciate the call. Have a great afternoon. Did he have a player? I don't know if he had a player. I thought he may have there at the end. I apologize if you did. Go ahead and call back. Yeah, the player that you wish you would have seen play here longer in Philadelphia. There's one name, one guy on my list that if you can guess this player, it's like a personal favorite of mine having watched him. And honestly, I covered some of his career, and some of his career was before I became a sports writer. So it would be that era of late 90s, 2000s.
That's not the guy that I had said to you, is it?
No.
Okay, because he was actually here and then left and came back also. So we each have a guy like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, this guy, when he was, he wasn't really here. He was property of a team here, and he was traded away, and then he came back. By the time he came back, like a decade or so later, I was a sports writer, and I got to cover his season or so here in Philadelphia. But before that, I was just got to watch his career. So that's a different one than you had. You want to go ahead, Tyler? Give me one of yours. Yeah, you can. Al did have one. He had a player that he wanted to guess and see if he's on my list. So if it's somebody on my list, I'll qualify you for a pair of Fanatic Fan Fest tickets. And if it's the guy, the one player that I have who is an instant winner, you will get those tickets right away as the Phillies go into the bottom of the 10th inning. They can't score a run. One run in 10 innings so far. And now Hector Neris is out of the game after he pitched out of trouble in the 9th. They got Ranger Suarez in the game with a runner on second. He promptly gives up a bomb. It's a double. Just missed halfway up the wall. Would have been a game-ending home run. But now it's a runner on second. Nobody out. And the Phillies are trying hard to get out of a jam in the 10th inning and extend the game to 11 innings. They lose this game and lose this series to the Pittsburgh Pirates. You don't deserve to be in a, you just absolutely don't deserve to be in a postseason. I know that they're right there, right in the mix, a half game out going into play today, and all these teams are jumbled in a National League. You got all these teams who are right there jumbled for a wild card berth, even the San Francisco Giants, who were forgotten sellers all the way. They're within 2.5 games of a wild card spot. Even these Pirates, who are 5 games under 500, are within 4.5 games. The Mets, as bad as they are, 6 games out of a wild card spot. Incredible that you have 10 teams. Add the Reds, 11 teams that are within 6.5. Only the Miami Marlins are like dead and buried in the National League. That's it. No one else in a National League is that out of it. And as if the Phillies can't take 2 out of 3 from the Pirates, I don't care that they're a half game out, and you don't deserve to be in a postseason. You really don't. At some point, you have to start beating the bad teams. Brent in Philadelphia, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. What's up, Brent?
Hey, how are you?
How are you, buddy?
I just wanted to sit there and say, like, I think we should always have the expectation for the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl.
The Patriot mentality?
Yes, definitely.
So for you, for this season, the only thing that would be a successful season is going to the Super Bowl or winning it?
Not just going, but winning it. That's not just going, but winning it. It's that mentality. You got to have that hunger every year, regardless of, you know, who you have. You just got to have that mentality.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I think there's some years where it's, you know, you're in a rebuild and you have no chance at being a Super Bowl contender. But if you want to set the standard at what the Patriots have, they haven't been in a rebuilding year in 2 decades. And they find a way every year to be competitive and be in a mix for the Super Bowl. And I think that's what every team in the NFL aspires to be, Brent. And if you're putting the Eagles in that spot right now, it's hard to argue with you. They won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. They got the talent.
Remember, the Patriots was in that spot when Brady came in. Remember, when Drew Bledsoe got hurt, Brady came in as unknown. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what they had with him. And look what happened. They grew a dynasty. So we don't know what the future holds for Nate Sussel, but I do know, I mean, the sky's the limit for us, and we already won one Super Bowl. Why not win another?
I can't argue with wanting to develop that mentality, Brent, and especially when you look at this team and this year and the talent that they have. It's hard to say Super Bowl or bust, but it's also pretty realistic for this group of players.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, man. Appreciate the call.
I want to answer your question, though.
You got a player that you wish would have spent more time here? Sure.
Allen Iverson.
Now, he was here for a bulk of his career and most of the good years. I mean, AI is not one of those guys who was only here for a cup of coffee. You know what I mean?
True, but he left.
Yeah,
he left, but he came back as a piece of himself. But
yeah, he did.
I kind of wish he would have stayed a little bit longer.
Yeah, I also think at that time when he moved on, it was time. I appreciate the call, man. Thank you. It was time for AI. Like, what was happening with the team and the way that things had transpired and how they had gone from being a Eastern Conference contender to being a team that was out of it. I think at that point it was time for him to go. What year was that? 07, right? It was 07.
When he went to the Nuggets, yeah. I think. Yeah, yep. Right around there.
It was in 07. He went there after played 15 games here. Then in 07-08, he played the entire season with Denver. 08-09, he started in Denver, got traded to the Pistons, played 54 games there, then Memphis, then came back here, finished that year there. 09, he was in Memphis to start, and then came back here and finished his career here in 2010. Wow, 2010. AI has been out of the game for almost a decade. That's crazy. He averaged 14 points a game towards the end there. He averaged 14 points a game. 610-632-0975. Which players do you wish would have spent more of their career here in Philadelphia? Is it Super Bowl or bust for you for the Eagles? What would you consider a successful season for this Philadelphia Eagles team? Mike, hang on. I'll get to you next. 610-632-0975. Rob Motti on the Fanatic. Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti. 610-632-0975. That was a good... I'm looking at his stats, Tyler. Man, he was so underrated, this guy. He was incredibly underrated, throughout, especially his career here in Philadelphia. Fans couldn't wait for him to go. Go ahead and give that before I get to Mike and Kelsey. Go ahead and give me this player that you wish you would have seen spend more of his time in Philadelphia.
The one who came back and left, or the pitcher?
The one who came back
and left. Okay, so yeah, I was, and I don't know why I thought of this guy. It's kind of a weird guy to think of, but Placido Polanco, who played here, I think, what was it, 03 to 05, and then he went back to Detroit for a couple years where he had some really good years. I told you he won the ALCS MVP the year that they went to the World Series, so I don't know why he came to my mind, but he was just a solid player.
He was in the Scott Rolen deal in 2002. The Phillies got him. He was a part of the package in a Scott Rolen deal. And he just came here in 03, hit 289, 14 homers. In 04, 298, 17 homers. Just a solid professional hitter. He was kind of, in 05, he was blocking Chase Utley. And they traded him to Detroit for Ugueth Urbina. And he goes on to Detroit, and he's terrific. He goes to an all-star game, and like you said, he even finished in the top 25 in MVP voting twice, got a couple gold gloves. The Phillies then bring him back in 2010 as a third baseman after Pedro Feliz was gone. They brought him back in 2010 as a third baseman, and he was good then too, 298. Just a professional hitter. By the way, Bryce Harper leads off the 11th inning with a strikeout. So again, he does not go deep in. As great as he has been, hustling and playing hard, and he's batting 257, 258. My man's got 17 home runs. It has only one in the last 14 games. The Phillies need a big run here in extra innings, and they ain't getting it out of Bryce Harper. Maybe Reese Hoskins can get the job done. Let's go to Mike in Doylestown. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Mike? Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Rob?
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. So for the Eagles, I just wanted to say I would consider the season successful if they win the division, win the playoff game, and Wentz stays healthy for the whole year.
So you want division title, playoff win, and 16 starts out of Carson Wentz?
Yes, yes. I would like all three of those things to consider it a successful season.
And there, sorry to interrupt you, I just said I'd like to see a home run out of the three or four hitter. Reese Hoskins just goes deep. I got to agree with you on that, Kelsey, that you really want to see, I'm sorry, Mike, you really want to see Carson Wentz show that he can stay healthy, go to the playoffs, and win a playoff game.
Yeah. And yo, I have a guess for the for your question. Can I take a guess?
A guy that you wish would have spent more of his career here in Philadelphia. Yes.
Peter Forsberg.
That is absolutely the one, Mike. I'm gonna put you on hold. Awesome. You're gonna instantly get tickets. We have four more to give away. Peter Forsberg is the guy that I wish could have spent more of his career here in Philadelphia. Take care, Mike. Congratulations. That is the one. I look at Peter Forsberg and I see a guy. He was originally traded away in the Eric Lindros deal, back after the Flyers drafted him, what year was that? 91st overall in 1991. No, first round, 6th overall in 1991. And Forsberg's only 46. If he was like Jagr, he could have still been playing. He hasn't played, though, since 2011. And he never played for the Flyers. Initially, he was traded away in the Eric Lindros deal. Then he comes back here in the 2005-2006 season after winning did he win a Hart Trophy? In the 2 years prior. He won a Hart Trophy MVP award for Colorado in 02-03, and he also led them to a cup, and he comes here, he plays 05-06, has a terrific year, 75 points in 60 games, but he had those foot issues and was trying to get him foot surgery, ankle stuff, and all that, and it was hard getting in the skates and everything. But Peter Forsberg is my guy, the guy that I would have loved to have seen him spend most of his career here in Philadelphia. But we still have four other pair of Fanatic Fan Fest tickets to give away, and we'll qualify you if you have a player who is on my list. Kelsey in Chester Springs. I bet you called Kelsey, and we're a little upset you're on 97.5 The Fanatic, and maybe you've changed your mind in the past 5 minutes.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing wonderful. It's a beautiful Sunday. I wanted to talk about the Phillies a little bit because I'm a baseball player. I play in college. I wanted to say, so baseball's a tough sport. It's really long, and I feel like one of the problems the Phillies have been running into right now is just like a lack, just slumping. You know, we kind of built up going into the season, we had Bryce Harper, you know, we have Rhys Hoskins coming back, a bunch of bats and everything. But I feel like it's like a long-term saying. It's pitching and defense wins championships. And, yeah, Aaron Nola, you know, I don't think he's been having the season that, you know, you'd love to see him have and all that. But if you could go back, I mean, to this free agency where we're talking like Bryce Harper, we're talking Manny Machado, I feel like on the pitcher's end of things, it wasn't really as much hyped up. And, you know, being a long season, no matter how good of hitters you have, naturally you're going to run into slumps. Like, what would you have done if you could go back, or maybe even not go back, just in terms of building a team that can pitch? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Like, it's not just the bullpen, it's the starters.
That's a good question, Kelsey. I talked a little bit about this last week. If I had gone back to the off season and they spent a lot of money and focus, obviously, on upgrading the offense, and they brought in four of their top five hitters in the lineup, and unfortunately McCutchen goes down, but they didn't address the starting pitching, and I think they were counting on Nola to continue being an ace and Jake Arrieta to bounce back after having like off-season knee surgery. And I think they thought that their offense was going to be good enough to carry them through the 3, 4, 5 starters, and the bullpen was supposed to be so strong and so deep that if they could only get 5 or 6 innings out of their starters, they have enough in the pen to get them through. But what happened, and they weren't counting on this, is that the bullpen was decimated by injuries. And the 3, 4, 5 starters have been borderline mediocre at best, and that's what they should have done, is addressed it in the offseason. Like, I look back, and it's easy to say this, but Charlie Morton got a 2-year, $30 million deal from the Tampa Bay Rays. That's a guy who would have been probably an ace or a really legitimate number two starter here in Philadelphia. Sinker ball pitcher, was here 4 years ago, had success in Houston, and now is having a terrific year in Tampa.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really tough because offense can be, like, you can put together one of the best offenses on paper, but it's just, that's like the tougher to produce side of baseball.
Where do you play?
I play at Franklin and Marshall in Lancaster.
Oh, okay. Cool, man.
Yeah, certainly. And I was thinking of a player that I wanted to see around longer. So Are we talking more like a player that started his career here, or could it be at any point?
Like, yeah, it could be like at any point. Like a guy like Roy Halladay, who came here towards the tail end of his career, had two dominant years and then two so-so years.
Okay, because I was, like, the whole time when you were saying this, I was thinking Cliff Lee, because he was somebody who came and, like, basically finished his career here, mm-hmm. but he was just somebody that was so sound, like somebody who I just would have loved to watch longer in Philadelphia, and I didn't really know much about him being on the Indians and whatnot, but I just think of Cliff Lee, personally.
Yeah, Cliff's a good one. I didn't put him on my list because he had, like, almost four good seasons here in Philadelphia. He did have the Cy Young Award year in Cleveland, but he's definitely a guy, if I had expanded it to a top 20 or a top 15 instead of top 10, he would have made the list. I appreciate the call, Kelsey. You have a great afternoon. Cliff Lee was here in 09. The Phillies acquire him at the trade deadline that year, and he goes 7-4. He had a 3.39 ERA. I think he must have had one or two bad starts, because at first he was lights out. And goes into the postseason, helps the Phillies get to the World Series. They win two games. Again, he wins the only two games against the Yankees in the postseason, in the World Series. And then they trade him. They traded Cliff Lee because they were afraid they weren't going to be able to re-sign him after his free agent year, 2010. So they trade him, but bring in Roy Halladay, and Roy Halladay comes here in 2010, has a phenomenal year, and Cliff Lee in 2010 goes to Seattle. Then they trade him to Texas, and he ends up pitching in another World Series, and then the Phillies shock everybody and sign him and bring him back after the 2010 season, give him less money than the Yankees offered him, but he wanted to be here, and he came here, and he was terrific in 2011, 17-8, 2.40 ERA, 2012, 6-9, but he had 30 starts and a 3.16 ERA. They just didn't score for him. 2013, he had another good year, 14-8, 2.87. Then the injuries took over, and Cliff Lee was basically finished in 2014 at 35 years old. He would be a guy that I would have high on my list that you wish you would have seen a little bit more of here in Philadelphia, but he did give you one, two parts of five seasons, three full seasons and parts of two others that he was here. 610-632-0975. We'll update the Fanatic poll. I'll let you know if Super Bowl or bust is still the leader, or if has inched closer towards just NFC championship. And the question was, what would you consider a successful year for the Philadelphia Eagles this season? 610-632-0975. Rob Motti on the Fanatic. 5:45 at 97.5. The Fanatic Rob Motti Show. And just minutes after I said it would be nice to see if the 3-4 hitter could come through, not with a clutch hit, a clutch homer, because they've had their share of clutch hits. Bryce Harper had a huge two-run double against the Dodgers in that comeback win the other day. Reese Hoskins had a clutch two-run single after Harper hit the tying double in the win against the Dodgers in the fourth game of that series. But I said it would be nice if the 3-4 hitter would deliver with a home run, because it had been 17 games for Reese and 14 games for Bryce, in which they each had only one home run. And no sooner did I say that,
Reese said, was this a good time? How about now?
You're right, it was. A 1-2 pitch, a typical Reese Hoskins low and away, golfs it, gets the launch angle under it, hits one out. Ranger Suarez comes in with two shutout innings, and the Phillies get the win. They could not lose this series to the Pirates. They did not lose this series to the Pirates. A huge, huge win for the Phillies in extra innings. Reese Hoskins with the solo homer in the 11th. Ranger Suarez with two shutout innings. And the Phillies win, and we'll see what Arizona is doing against Milwaukee. And they're right there. They're still in the mix. It's going to be that kind of year where they're going to stay in the mix, because everybody except the Marlins in the National League is in the mix. So we can start some Phillies conversation along with your Eagles talk. Sean, I'll get to you in a second. Let me just give a quick rundown here
1,400 plus votes in a little bit over 1 hour. And the question we asked you is, what would you consider a successful season for the Phillies? NFC East champs, 8%. One playoff win, 4%. NFC champions, 43%. Super Bowl title or bust, 45%. And right now, that's the leader. Close lead against NFC title, NFC champions. So it's difficult to say anything less than a Super Bowl is a championship. But if you're trying to develop a New England Patriot mentality, a Boston fan attitude where anything less than a championship is a failure, you're on your way to having that here. Sean in Drexel Hill, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Fantastic, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, man. I just called up the Mikey Mish show last week. Newer listener, you know, but I was talking about the Phillies and whatnot. But you guys said you're talking about the Birds, right?
Yeah, we're doing Eagles and the Phillies after this big win. Huge win
Yeah. Eagles and the Phillies, right? So I just watched the Phillies. Obviously, Hoskins came through big, right? Still need a solid relief pitcher. Still need a solid closer. I'm sorry, but I just still don't trust Neris. Think he's better as like a eighth inning guy, come in, get a couple outs, maybe three, but get a better closer, right? Might be out of the realm, but that's fine.
Well, I think they need number one, though, Sean. I think number one, they need another starter.
They do need another starter, obviously. But listen, the front office messed up, man. They went all about hitting, right?
Yeah.
Which is fine. That's fine. But then, you know, as the season progressed, we found that it's not always all about hitting, right? You got to have some pitching. And that's fine, man. Look, they might tweak their way through, but I'm not expecting anything big this year. But as far as the Birds go,
yes, sir.
I am one of these guys that I, you know, I'm an Uber driver. I drive all day. Mm-hmm. I listen to you guys, you know, and I know that the. Hey, listen, I love Carson Wentz. He's great, right? But can he stay healthy?
That's the number. That's the number one question right there. Yeah.
Right. Now I heard another caller earlier, and I don't think it was your guy's show. It might have been. I don't know. But you know, Foles. Some people think that what Nick Foles did was a miracle.
I wouldn't classify it as a miracle. Here's a guy who had talent. We saw it in 2013 when he had 29 touchdowns, including playoffs, and only two interceptions. I wouldn't consider it a miracle, but they had to overcome tremendous odds, Sean, in 2017 with all the guys that they lost. That was huge.
They did. Listen, bro, my family, we had like a couple tragedies in a row that year. And trust me, them winning that Super Bowl was a miracle to us, as well as it was to everybody else. But I will say this about Nick Foles. It does seem, or it did seem, that when Foles was in there, the team played up. I don't know if that's a difference. I don't know. I'm not in the locker room. I'm not, you know, I played high school ball, whatever. But it seemed like it was different when he was in there. I'm not knocking Wentz. I'm just saying that when Foles was in there, and then you've seen it again last year in the playoffs, right? I mean, at one point we thought he was hurt, right?
Yeah,
guy walks back out there like Walt Frazier, right? The Knicks, right?
I cover the team. I'm in a locker room. I know that guys kind of, when there's a backup in there, they focus a little extra. They step up their game, they rally around the backup quarterback. But he had a different style of play than Carson. He was more willing to let receivers go out and make a play, put it up and go make a play. And Carson,
and you know what? You're right. And I believe because he does not show mobile, like he's not as mobile as these guys who run around, I think that's more of a pocket passing, obviously, mentality. But like, you know, maybe that's what it is. He gets rid of the ball quick because he knows he can't run.
Yeah, and he has to. You're right. He can't run. He's got no mobility. Carson's willing to wait a little longer because he can escape. Carson has a lot of confidence in his strong arm sometimes to get it in there right before he takes a shot. And what we want to see out of him this year is don't take that shot.
Yeah, and listen, real quick, by all means, man, I do not hate Wentz. I love him. I think he could be one of the greatest. But the injuries, you know, they make me a little bit, you know, skeptical, like as far as what we should have done. But look, I hope I'm wrong. Obviously, I hope I'm wrong, you know. But,
I appreciate the call, Sean. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
have a great afternoon. I can understand a little skepticism. I can understand a little bit of wanting to see Carson prove to you that he could stay healthy. Now, hey, he played 16 games his rookie season. He suffered a freak ACL injury. ACL injuries happen in the NFL. Very common. It can happen to anybody. They happen to a lot of players. He happened to do it diving headfirst into the end zone. Stayed in the game and threw a touchdown pass that game, which was an incredible four plays later that he did that. And then last year, whether it was compensating for coming back from the knee, whether it was just getting one too many hit on the back, he had the back issue, he had the back problem. Yeah, I can understand wanting to see him stay healthy for the course of a full season, but I'm not ready to say he's an injury-prone guy. I'm not ready to say I don't trust in him. I'm not ready to say that they made a mistake. I absolutely do not believe in any way, shape, or form that they made a mistake with this team, with their decision to move on from Nick Foles and give Carson Wentz that long-term contract extension. He is the franchise quarterback, and when he's healthy, the expectation is, like it is now, that he can lead you to a Super Bowl title. So do you consider this season a success if they do anything less? I know there's a long way to go, and there's a lot of football to be played. A lot of football, a lot of circumstances, and there's a ton to go through. But if you want to have a champions mentality, you want to have a New England Patriots mentality, their attitude, their outlook, when they go into a season, it's championship or nothing. If they don't win a title, it's a failure of a season for them. How do you feel about that with the Philadelphia Eagles as we get closer to training camp? And the Phillies come back, win a huge win against the Pirates in extra innings. So now they've won four out of their last six games. If you were after the embarrassing loss, that 16-2 loss to the Dodgers, they've now won they came back, they won two out of three, and then two out of three. So they've won four out of six since that embarrassing loss to the Dodgers. We can talk about the Phillies too as well. And give me a player that you wish, like a Roy Halladay, you could have seen longer here in Philadelphia for more years, whether he came for a little bit, whether he started and left and never came back, whether it was just a half a season, a full season, 2 years. Roy was here for four, but he's a guy you look back at his career and say, man, I wish Roy could have spent the bulk of his career here in Philadelphia, as he gets honored today and is inducted into the Hall of Fame. 610-632-0975. I'm Rob Motti on the Fanatic.
97 Voice of the New Philadelphia. 97.5. The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia. A Beasley Media Group station.
Welcome to the Fanatic family.
And welcome back to 97.5. The Fanatic. Rob Motti Show. 610-632-0975. Phillies, big win. This is the first series they have won against anyone other than the New York Mets since, oh, it's got to be a while, since sometime early in June. But you know what? A W is a W. I don't care whether you're playing the Mets or whoever you're playing against. At this point, you got to beat the teams in front of you. You got to beat whoever is on the field against you. You get the win, you get the W, and there you go. That's all you got to do. Now, there was a strange moment in this Phillies game today when a fan just walked onto the field and tried to take a selfie with Brad Miller. And I don't know why Brad Miller's in the starting lineup. I continue to say it every time he's in a starting lineup. At least Michael Franco gives you better defense, and the threat, he's got 15 home runs, and sometimes he'll drive you nuts with his approach at the plate, but Michael can go deep and carry you for a game or two or three, but Brad Miller was in the starting lineup, and at some point, a fan walked onto the field and tried to take a selfie. I don't know why you picked Brad Miller, unless that's the closest guy to you, but this is after the earlier this week when the tarp was on the field and the rain was coming and a fan ran onto the field and slid headfirst on it. You can't allow players to have fans anywhere close to them running on the field because you don't know. Like, this is, it's crazy. It's a nutty world. I don't know what's going to happen. If I'm a player, I don't want a fan running out onto the field. You don't know what's, I don't know how they punish these guys. And Tyler and I were just talking about this. I don't know what their punishment is. Is it a night in jail? Is it more than a night in jail? Is it community service? Whatever it is, it's got to be stricter to try and make sure that people are not thinking about it, like aren't even considering it. You got to fine them like crazy. It's at the least, you got to fine them some incredible amount of fine. To where if they're going to be drunk and stupid and run out onto the field, it's going to hurt them in the bank account, if they even have one, for years. You have to do, like, you have to try and make sure that guys, that any fans, aren't endangering players by running out onto the field. 610-632-0975. We're talking about Eagles and Phillies today. Phillies big win. They're right there in the mix. They're going to be a half game out of a wild card spot regardless of what the Brewers do, because St. Louis won. They're 100 games into the season and they've won 52. They got 62 games left. If they go 35 and 27, it'll be 87 wins if they can win 35 out of 62. I don't see anything that they've done to convince me that they could do more than 33, 34 wins right now. But if they can get hot, they get some acquisitions at the trade deadline. Drew Smyly, nobody was really excited about Drew Smyly. I thought, hey, you're taking a shot, no risk. He's better than what you have at this point, because whatever you've been putting out there, maybe a change in scenery, and it's pretty a big time reach to say, I hope that Drew Smyly can go back to being the guy he was in 2014. Like, that's how long it's been since he was really effective. He did miss 2 years because of Tommy John. It's been a while, but today he goes out there, six innings. I know it's the Pirates, but six innings, gives up one run, strikes out eight. Bullpen goes five shutout innings. Huge win out of the Phillies. So we could talk about that. But the Eagles are four games away from training camp. And with four games away from training camp, I wanted to know today, when you look at this season, is it a Super Bowl or bust year for you? Or are you happy? Would you consider it a success if Carson stays healthy, wins a playoff game? Or if they win the NFC East, or if they win the NFC and get to a Super Bowl, not win it, but just get to a Super Bowl, what would be a successful season for you? The Super Bowl or bust is leading, hanging on by a thread to the lead in our Twitter poll on 97.5. The Fanatic, with over 1,500 votes, has 44% of them. But NFC champions getting closer at 43. So if you look at this season with the talent that this team has, and you would be satisfied, you would consider it a successful season with anything less than a Super Bowl, I want to hear your explanation. 610-632-0975. And if you have that Patriot mentality like they do in New England, all the fans up there, like anything less than a Super Bowl is a failure here, I want to hear that too. 610-632-0975. Today, Major League Baseball, Hall of Fame, Cooperstown. I still have not made it to Cooperstown. I kept telling myself that one day I'm going to go there. I became a voter probably 9-10 years ago, that I've been a Hall of Fame voter. And I said that once we get Jason Stark in, we're going to go there and see that, and didn't make it out this year. And congratulations to Jason for getting in, the third writer in the Philadelphia chapter in the past decade to get in. following Bill Conlon, Paul Hagan, and now Jason Stark. Claire Smith, who was nominated by the New York chapter, also spent part of her career in Philadelphia. She got in either last year or the year before. So we've had a lot. We've had a lot of successful Hall of Fame caliber writers here in Philly. And we had the players, too. Roy Halladay, who was a Philly, gone too soon. We lose Roy Halladay. And in his honor, we look back at some of these players who have come through Philadelphia, whether it was a short period of time or early in their career or at the end or even in the middle, that you wish you would have seen longer, played here longer. Who are they? Who would they be? And if they are on my list, we'll qualify you for a pair of Fanatic Fan Fest tickets. I'll tell you who's off the board. Terrell Owens is off the board. My guy was Peter Forsberg. Tyler mentioned Placido Polanco, who was here, was blocking Chase Utley, got traded away, was excellent ball player in Detroit. Tyler has another one that he's going to give us in a few minutes that is very, very good, too, as well. Cliff Lee was mentioned, wasn't on my list. Brian Dawkins was mentioned. Jeremiah Trotter was mentioned. They were not on my list. Cliff Lee wasn't, because I looked at Cliff Lee and said, well, he had four full seasons and then part of another one here. So I thought he was here for, he had more successful years in Philly than he did elsewhere. When you look at Cliff Lee and you look at, he had eight seasons in Cleveland, but he really wasn't much. His first two, he just pitched in 11 games total. Then he was 14-8 one year, but he was with a 5.43 ERA. Man, they must have scored some runs for him that season. Then he had three really good seasons for Cleveland. Had a bad one in the mix there, too, as well. And then he was traded here to Philadelphia. So he was almost there as long as he was. He was a little bit longer there than he was here. And, of course, he had a year in Texas and a year in Seattle. So he wasn't on my list. But we're looking for guys like that, guys who you wish you would have seen a majority of their career here in Philadelphia. I'll tell you, there's one that I don't want to go too far back, but there's one who I go back to my days of sitting in a 700 level at the Vet. There is a specific player that I'm thinking about back in that era who is a guy who was here for a short period of time, 4 years, maybe three, who I wish could have been here for a bulk of his career. Let's go to Kurt in Princeton. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic. What's up, Kurt?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Fantastic, bud.
I personally think it's crazy, any NFL season, for anybody to say that getting to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl, either of those options falling short of, is a failure, because every given year, getting to the Super Bowl is a tall task. So 40% of your fans out there right now are saying that short of a Super Bowl appearance is a failure? Is that right?
Well, let's see. Actually, only 13% are saying anything short of an appearance is not a success. So 87% are saying the only thing that would be a successful year is getting to it or winning it.
And that's insane, because it's the NFL, number one. My opinion, I first of all want to see Carson Wentz play 16 games. That would be a successful season in and of itself, just to see what he could pull off in an entire season. And then my second success would be just to see how this running back tandem is going to work as a whole. Jordan Howard, I'm excited about. I would love to see Sproles have a, you know, bounce back season, play in all the games, stay healthy, and you know, give up 800 yards, maybe 7 or 8 or 9 touchdowns.
From Darren Sproles?
Darren Sproles.
Wow, Kurt, you got high expectations for him. I look at Darren Sproles at this stage of his career, and I'm like, he might be a 5 or 7 touch guy. If he had 700, 800 yards, maybe total from scrimmage, receiving and rushing, I think that would be a lot to expect. Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders and Corey Clement, I would expect to be the bulk of the ball carriers. But, hey, Darren Sproles, when healthy, is effective. So you do have that.
And with now the receiving core we have to spread the field, and if Carson Wentz plays in 16 full games and can – you know, allow us to run the ball 25, 30 times a game as a tandem, I expect Sproles to get in the end zone with 2 or 3 catching touchdowns and 3 or 4 rushing touchdowns. I don't think that's anything short to ask from a guy like Darren Sproles.
Now, getting back to the point of expectations being Super Bowl or bust, if you're a Patriots fan, do you look at it differently?
Yeah, absolutely, because you're in there 85% of the time you're in the Super Bowl.
So why would you not, as an Eagles fan, want to aspire to have that mentality?
Well, aspire to have the mentality is one thing, but to consider the season as a failure if you don't make the Super Bowl is a little extreme.
It is, because it's a tough task. You're right. It's a tough task, but I think after having won a Super Bowl 2 years ago and then last year getting to the second round of the playoffs in a season that didn't really go right for you, with the talent that they have at this point, if everybody stays healthy, you know.
Correct.
Right?
Let's just say the last 3 years Carson Wentz played 16 games a season. It was Carson Wentz under center who won the Super Bowl. So now they're 33% Super Bowl appearance and championship with Carson Wentz. Then I would put the expectation that we should be getting back to the Super Bowl. But the fact that he hasn't played a full season, he was not under center when we won the Super Bowl, it's a little bit much to assume that with this quarterback that we're going to get to the Super Bowl and then win it. So for us to get to the, I think the NFC Championship game, short of that, would be considered a failure. But first, he has to play a full season. He's got to give you 40-something hundred yards and 30, 35, even 40 touchdowns. And then I would say it's a successful season that we could build upon for next year. Then next year, short of the Super Bowl, after that expectation, would then be a failure, in my opinion.
All right, Kurt, I appreciate your input. This is exactly the kind of conversation I was looking for. Have an awesome day, man. I wanted to hear from both sides of it, from those who believe that anything less than a Super Bowl would be a success, or those who believe like Kurt. And he made very strong, compelling points for the other side. He said, hey, it is a tough task. It's hard to get to the Super Bowl. And it's hard. It's not easy. Things got to break right for you. You got to, along the way, so many different things have to go your way to get to a Super Bowl. And here we are, as far as the Eagles, 4 days away from training camp, having won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. Carson didn't win it. It was Nick Foles. Carson Wentz went down in week 13. He was on his way to having an MVP season before that happened. Still finished behind Tom Brady and Todd Gurley. Got a couple votes for NFL MVP. And I look at this season, and I believe it's 87% of those who have voted already, and most of the callers say, hey, anything short of getting there is a failure. But some of you believe that getting 16 full games out of Carson, and you know what? We say 16, but we just mean injury-free, because you could get to week 16 of the season, they've locked up the number one seed or the number one two seed, or the game doesn't matter. Of course, you bench him in that case. But having an injury-free season out of Carson, getting him into the playoffs, getting him a postseason start, and him winning a game, some consider that a success. I want to hear from you. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Andy in Deptford. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Andy?
Yo, Rob, what's up? How's it going?
How are you, buddy?
You know, when I look at this upcoming season, I think we'll both agree with the offense is pretty scary. I mean, I don't see much weaknesses on that side of the ball. But defensively, mainly D-end, I think they may have made a little mistake overpaying Brandon Graham. I mean, the guy had 4 sacks last year. They paid like he had 14.
Andy, I've been saying that since it happened. I think they it was a loyalty decision. He won. He won the Super Bowl with them and had the big strip sack in that game. I kind of feel like they might regret it.
I would have much rather them ended up a little bit more, kept Bennett. I mean, he was more productive than Graham last year.
No doubt.
Take a chance on a guy like Ziggy Ansah, cheap 1 year deal, and then you'd have a nice 4-man rotation: Barnett, Ansah, Curry. I think it'd be a little bit more dangerous. And you look what we got now, 4-man. We got Sweat, Graham, Curry, and Barnett. Where are the sacks going to be coming from?
Well, they brought back Curry. They got Josh Sweat. They're expecting a lot out of Derek Barnett. And Brandon Graham's got to earn that paycheck, man. He got paid for past performance. And I'm like you. I fear that they may look at that down the road and go, oh, we wish we didn't give him all that money. So he's going to have to step it up for sure. They got, obviously they have a lot of depth, Andy, on that D-line. But Michael Bennett, to me, might be like the guy that you miss the most.
And you look at Joe Banner's old recipe. I mean, I know we all couldn't stand him. He was good with the cap, but he knew once guys hit 30, he wasn't going to any up on him. And Brandon Graham's what, 31? Maybe 32 in the season, third.
I'll tell you what, if Brandon Graham played for, he's 31, he'll be 32. If he played for the Patriots, he wouldn't have been back this year. There's no doubt.
Absolutely not. They show loyalty and winning, not in names.
So who's the guy? Give me the name of a player that you wish would have spent more time here in Philadelphia.
Can I jump in your Super Bowl thing quickly before I give you the guy?
Yeah.
As far as the Super Bowl goes, I think you got to look at it season by season. I mean, you look at last year. We all had back-to-back Super Bowl aspirations, but the season didn't unfold like that. We scrapped in the playoffs. You know, we won a playoff game. I look at last year. I don't look at that as a disappointing season. So, you know, I think you got to wait and see how everything unfolds. We don't know what's going to happen through camp. We don't know what's going to happen early on. But, I mean, of course, you go in every season with Super Bowl aspirations. But, you know, when I look at last year, I'm not disappointed in the way how things unfolded.
Yeah, I think the way the season unfolded last year, in a way, it was like they were worn down and it became a struggle just to get to the playoffs. Once they were able to get in there, and it took a lot happening at the end for them to get in and to get one win on the road and then take the Saints to the end in that game, I think people look back at that and were pretty happy with it. Overall, you're disappointed you didn't get the back-to-back. But, no, you have the right overall frame mentality where you take it, you wait till the season plays out, and you go season by season.
As far as my guy goes,
yep,
that I wish was here longer, I'm going to go with Charlie Garner. Could you imagine if he was here throughout the 90s? We suffered through James Joseph, all these bums. I mean, Vaughn Hebron. We never had stud running backs until Deuce came to town.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have Garner a little bit longer.
That's a good one, Andy. Charlie Garner is absolutely a good one. I appreciate the call. I'm going to look at his stats now. Thank you. Charlie Garner, I remember that one game, that breakout game he had against the San Francisco 49ers. Was it his rookie year? It was either his rookie year or his second season. He was here 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow, I didn't even realize he was here that long. He was here for 5 years and then left here. Went out to San Francisco and had his 5 seasons in Philadelphia. He didn't run for more than 588 yards, not 1 year. Then he goes to San Fran in 99 and runs for 1,229 yards. Then his next year has another 1,000-yard season back when, it was Steve Young, 1,142. Then he goes to Oakland, 839, 962. And one more year at 120, finished with barely played a couple games with Tampa. That's a good one. The guy I was thinking about, though, played with him. The guy I was thinking about played with Charlie Garner and was here for, let me see, that would have been one. So that was a nine. It had to be 4 years. He had some terrific years. Man, they had a nice running back tandem back then. Was only here for 3 years. Okay, was only here for 3 years. Yeah, wow. That's an incredible career. An incredible career. That's a good one. Which players do you wish would have spent more time, more of their career here in Philadelphia? We've had some good names mentioned. I know there's a bunch out there. Tyler, you have another good one that I want you to give us when we come back. This was one that, was only here for a very short period of time, had some success as soon as he got here, and you wish that he would have been here for a whole lot longer than he was. 610-632-0975. We're talking Eagles and our expectations. 4 days away from camp. Phillies get a big win. They take 2 or 3 from the Pirates. They take 2 or 3 from the Dodgers after losing 16-2 in the series opener to the Dodgers. Are you a little encouraged by that, or do you still think they got way too far to go and you really don't care about a wild card game anyway? It's a play-in game to be able to play against the L.A. Dodgers. 610-632-0975. Derek, hang on. I'll get to you next. Rob Motti on a Fanatic. Six 30, 975, the Fanatic, Rob Motti Show. 610-632-0975. Join Anthony Gargano, Jason Mertedis, with special guest, Super Bowl champion Brent Celek, and Birds insider Tim McManus for a pre-training camp football roundtable live from Riley's Pub at Valley Brook Country Club this coming Tuesday, starting 10 a.m. We are almost at 1,600 votes. Super Bowl or bust is a successful season for the Eagles. 44% of you say that is the answer. That's what your expectation levels are. 43% would be happy with just getting to the Super Bowl. 8% NFC East champs and 5% one playoff win. High expectations for this Eagles team? Deservedly so. This team has the talent. The expectations are high. I believe they can be a Super Bowl contender. I haven't decided on who I'm going to pick yet. I'm going to wait till mid to late August. I know who I pick in the AFC every year. I pick the Patriots to go. Haven't made the decision yet on the NFC. 610-632-0975. Derek is in New York, and you're on a Fanatic. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Rob, thanks for taking my call, man.
Thank you, man.
I definitely think it's Super Bowl or bust. I tried that last year with being satisfied, you know, because we had a Super Bowl. I didn't feel inadequate anymore when, you know, arguing with my friends and everything. but I'm telling you, I think we made the right moves, and I think we had a personnel that we can do it. And plus, I think Carson Wentz is going to have a big year. I know they're speculating, but I definitely think he's going to have a big year. And it shouldn't be anything less than the Super Bowl.
I expect big things out of Carson. I know that he is really just fired up, amped up to have a great season. He's in great shape. He feels healthy. He's done some things even in the offseason to make sure that he can take his nutrition and his workouts and his diet to another level. I feel like he's poised to have a tremendous season. You hope that he stays healthy. And as long as he can and he does, this team will be a legit Super Bowl contender, I believe, for not just this year, but for the next few seasons.
And that's what I say, too. You know, up in Boston, they expect it. They expect it every year. And I think we should expect it every year as long as we got somebody like Carson Wentz in here.
I love that Boston mentality because that's what you get to. That's what you've come to accept there, expect there. Of course, they've won six Super Bowls, and that's why they feel that way. But that's what you should aspire to be. If you're an Eagles fan and you are the Eagles, every team in the NFL, Derek, wants to be like the Patriots. They want to have the longevity of Brady and Belichick and win those championships. And I think the Eagles are on their way when the fans are putting the pressure on them like that. I think the players themselves also feel that, sense that, and they want to have those expectations.
Yes, I agree.
Who's the player that you have that you wish you would have seen longer here in Philly?
And it breaks my heart every year at the end of the NBA season. That's Lou Williams. I wish we could have kept that guy.
Sweet around. Lou Williams, huh? Lou Williams, that's a good one. I didn't have him on my top 10 list. He should have been. Sweet Lou Williams is definitely a good one, Derek, and I appreciate the call, man. Thank you. Have a great weekend. He's a guy that you look back at his career, and what did he have here? I remember, Lou Williams goes so far back that when he first started, when he was first drafted here, he's only 32? Wow, I can't believe that Lou Williams is only 32. But when he was drafted by the Sixers in 05, man, I was still covering a lot of basketball then. He played here, how many years was it? 05 through the 2012. Lou Williams played 7 seasons for the Sixers? Wow. I didn't realize he was here that long. He was here 7 seasons. Went to Atlanta, Toronto, Lakers, Houston. Now he's with the Clippers. Last year, only started 1 game, scored 20 off the bench. Year before that, started 19 games, scored 23 points off the bench. How long has he been? How many times has he won a sixth man of the year?
I think he's won it 3 times.
Is it 3 times?
I'll have to double check.
I think so. You're right. Yeah, in 14, 15, he's won the last 2. So he's won it three times since 2014, including the last two. Lou Williams is definitely a good one. That's such a good one. I should have given Derek tickets anyway. Although he's in New York, I don't know if he was going to come to the Fanatic Fan Fest in August. 610-632-0975. Got another, here's a good one, a really good one on Twitter. Two of them, they're both Hall of Famers. One of them goes way back to even before my time, Ferguson Jenkins. But the other one is a guy I mentioned to you a little bit earlier, Jim Thome. Jim Tomey's a guy that you certainly would have wished to have seen play here in Philadelphia for a lot longer than he did. Although he was blocking Ryan Howard there at the end, but that's a guy. Now you have another one that's a good one, Tyler. Give me this name.
Yeah, so I have a one Philly on my list and two Flyers. I'll give you the Philly, and it is Roy Oswalt.
Roy Oswalt. Roy came here. What was that? 2011? So that was, or 20?
Yeah, that was ten because that was the four aces.
Yeah,
with
Hamels. That was after they let Lee go. See, they traded Lee, brought in Halliday, and then halfway through that season, we're like, oh, we need another starter, and went and got Roy Oswalt. He went 7-1 in 13 games, 1.74 ERA. But there was something else that he did that was very memorable. You remember that, right?
Yeah, so I was at a game, and it went 16 innings against the Reds, and they ended up putting Roy Oswalt out in left field. And he actually, I literally remember this, he was like a magnet. The first pitch, like not the first pitch, but the first out was a fly ball to Roy Oswalt, and he caught it. Luckily, he didn't have to move very much.
They say the ball was fine to the new guy out there. Roy Oswalt is, that's a good one. So he was here 2010, then 2011 was the year of the four aces. He went 9-10 with a 3.69 ERA. Got hurt that year. Didn't finish out. He did come back and started in the postseason for them that season. That was the year they lost to the Cardinals, and he went six innings, gave up five runs in one of those games. So he had a bad start there for them. And the year before 2010. He had two games. He started two games against the Giants, and then he came in relief. I remember that. He came in relief against the Giants in the 2010 NLCS in one of those games. That's a good one. So you have two more. One of them is what, a Flyer?
So actually, my two left guys are both Flyers.
Are both Flyers, not named Peter Forsberg.
Who was
the guy that was on my list. So 610-632-0975. We still got a few more pair of Fanatic Fan Fest tickets to give away. If you have a guy that you wish would have been here far longer than he did, someone like a Roy Halladay, who was here for four seasons, but a majority of his success came in Toronto. If it's somebody who is on a list over here that I put together, we would qualify you for a pair of Fanatic Fan Fest tickets. And that Fanatic Fan Fest is coming on August 24 at Xfinity Live from 1 to 5 p.m. It's presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. The tickets are free, but you have to have a ticket to get in. So all you got to do, call in right now. Give you a chance to win. Give me a player that you wish would have been here a lot longer than he was. All of our Fanatic hosts are on site, as well as Sal Powell, Ron Jaworski, Eric Carabel, Tom McGinnis, and Mark Zumoff. Bikini Beach, created by Elite Landscaping. Special beach feature this year. Hot tubs have been added courtesy of Spa Hearth and Home. Details coming soon on how you can register to win a FanFest soak. Lamborghinis and Ferraris. Two mobile escape rooms. A Houdini's Challenge. And an immunity quest by One Exit Mobile Escape Rooms. A golf simulator. With the closest to the pin contest, Ron Jaworski Golf Putting Green. One lucky listener will win a football trip for two to the away game in Miami with Anthony Gargano. It includes a flight, hotel, cruise around Miami, pregame tailgate, and tickets courtesy of PhillySportsTrips.com. We are giving away a Wave Runner courtesy of DHY Motorsports, a four-person 30-foot rock wall, a dunk tank, a 95-foot radical run, obstacle course, Spider Mountain, a trip for four to the happiest place on earth. Yes, Disney. Our FanFest band, The Zings. Our FanFest DJ, Mo Green. Baseball, Speed Pitch. Bouncy boxing with huge boxing gloves, wiffle ball challenge, doom, high striker, strongman challenge, all courtesy of Hullet's True Value. Just added, the Sixers bringing a half court to play on, the Dunk Squad, the Sixers Dancers, the Stixers Drum Squad, and the Sixers Liberty Bell. Some of our FanFest partners include Family and Company Jewelers, Armor Metals and Recycling, and the U.S. Army. And thanks to our FanFest exclusive automotive partner, Turnersville Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram, online at turnersvillejeep.com. And DHY Motorsports, make summer funner on a Wave Runner. Shop DHY.com, the area leader for everything power sports. 610-632-0975. Mike, hang on. I'll get to you next. Open lines, Rob Motti on the Fanatic.
97.5. The Fanatic.
645, 97.5, The Fanatic, Rob Motti Show. Here with you, too. D-line them at 8 p.m. 610-632-0975. We get closer to training camp. 4 days away. It's going to be hot, and they're going to be out there practicing. Football season's here. It's the last Sunday without football until after the Super Bowl. The last Sunday. So for someone who covers the NFL like me, it's like the end of summer vacation. So, and I cover baseball too, so I never really had a summer vacation except a few days here and there. Just enjoyed a couple days recently with my wife. I do have a question I want to ask the folks out there in a little bit too about that. I had a little experience that I want to get some input on, but let's go to Ray in West Philly. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Ray?
Hey, Ray. This is Ray. How you doing, man?
What's up, Ray? How are you?
Nothing too much. And this, I had a name for you. First, I want to say, man, I think you guys do a great job here at the studio, man.
Thank you.
And I can't wait, man, to football season start up. I'm just irking for it, man. But this guy played for the Eagles, man, and his name was Leonard something, but he got hurt.
Weaver? Fullback?
Weaver.
Yes.
Yes, I would love to see him, man, play like at least another 3 or 4 years, man. I think, you know, he'd have done well, you know.
Yeah, Leonard Weaver was, I think he went to the Pro Bowl as a fullback. Then he had a gruesome leg injury, knee injury.
And
that kind of ended his career. He was a really good fullback back when teams used fullbacks. Nowadays, right. They don't even have them. There's only like one or two left in the NFL. Right. He's still a young dude, too. Leonard Weaver's only like 36. That was in, that was 2010 when he had that injury.
Yeah, because when he left the Eagles, he was still kind of young there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was done after that. That was too bad, too. He came from Seattle, had a couple good years there. But you're
Did
right. That was
Seattle?
A guy.
Did he come from Seattle?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, he came from Seattle. So, Ray, tell me about this season. We're 4 days away from camp, and I threw it out there at the beginning of the show asking people what would they see as a successful year for the Eagles? What do they have to do for it to be a success for you?
You mean like record-wise?
Well, just overall, as far as the options were win the NFC East, win a playoff game, go to the Super Bowl, or win the Super Bowl.
Man, just win the Super Bowl, man. Go all the way, man.
All the way,
Yeah, I think they've come. I think they are come out of with at least 12-4, somewhere around there, give or take 11-5.
Okay.
But yeah, Super Bowl bound, man. Super Bowl bound.
Yeah, I got them right there too. Probably around 11 wins. 10.5 is the over under in Vegas. I think they can get in there at 11 wins, right?
Right. Absolutely.
All right, man. I appreciate the call.
Okay, man. You guys have a good one, man.
Thank you. Take care. Have a great one. 11-5. Get them to see, the thing is, and we know how important it is to get a bye in the first round. That is what is crucial. Get a bye. Got to be a 1 seed or a 2 seed, preferably a 1. So all the playoff games go through the link, and I don't know that 11 wins would get that. You're probably going to have 12, maybe 13 to get a bye. You're probably going to have to be there somewhere around 12 or 13. And you look at the schedule this year, it's you never know. It's hard to break down a schedule because you don't know if you're going to be playing a team. And coming on, losing some key players, or if they're going to be completely healthy. And the Eagles start their season off at home. They're playing the Redskins. Then they're in Atlanta week two on a Sunday night game. Then they're back here playing the Lions. Then it's a Thursday night game in Green Bay week four. That's a tough one right there. Like, they could be 2-2 after four games. You got the Jets then here. That's should be a W in Minnesota. Yes, Kirk Cousins doesn't scare me, but it's on the road against Minnesota. At Dallas, it's not that. Three road games in a row there. Minnesota, at Dallas, at Buffalo, Bears here. Then they finally get their bye after week 9 before week 10. Bears here, Patriots here, November 17, Seahawks here. So there's a month where they don't have to go on a road. It's a whole month. The whole month of November, the Eagles will not even get on a, well, they will if they're flying somewhere for their bye week. But the whole month of November, they don't have to travel as a team. They got three home games and a bye. Then they're on a road in Miami. Giants here at Washington. Dallas is here week 16, which could be a game that determines the division. And they're at the Giants to finish up. I kind of like that, because if you're playing the Cowboys for the division in week 16 and hopefully to maybe wrap up seeding and have week 17 be meaningless, this way you can rest your guys. And for everybody who wants to see Carson Wentz start 16 games, you think you settle for 15 if he's healthy and just is just rested in week 17. So the Eagles, this schedule's not that, it's in no schedule. I never look at a schedule and go, ah, it's a pushover. It's never that way. And when you have three road games and you have a Thursday night game in Green Bay early in a season, that's tough. Week two already on the road on a Sunday night at Atlanta is not an easy game at all. There's always like that one game where they're going to play and it's going to be, you know, you got the Patriots here in November. And it's the Patriots. It's tough. There's always going to be that one game where they should have won and they kind of end up blowing it, or they underperform, and hopefully that's not week 15 at Washington. But you look at those games too, is games that they should win. 610-632-0975. What are your expectations for the Eagles? What would you be satisfied with? And as we get into the final hour here today too, in addition to just talking about what do you consider a successful season, as it's getting closer, the gap has gotten to 1 percentage point between getting to the Super Bowl and actually winning the Super Bowl is what you would consider a success. But what are you most excited about as training camp gets 4 days away, gets set to kick off? I look at some of the weapons that they have on offense. You know that DeSean Jackson's obviously a guy who's going to add to this team, but Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Then you have guys like Mac Hollins coming back. Nelson Aguilar another opportunity to really have a breakout year. Alshon Jeffrey, as Tyler mentioned earlier in the show, has maybe some opportunities now where he'll get more single coverage with some of these weapons. I look at a guy like Dallas Goedert as someone who I think can have a big-time breakout type of year for the Eagles this year. And then some of the question marks, too. So some of the guys you're most excited about seeing and some of the question marks. I think the number one question that most Eagles fans have is, can Carson stay healthy? And I think that's legitimate. It's valid because we haven't seen him stay healthy now 2 years in a row. One's a freak injury, and one might have been a little bit compensating for that. But it's a legitimate concern. I look at the defense. You look at a little bit at the defensive line. I think Michael Bennett's going to be a guy they miss. I really do feel that he's going to be a guy they miss. But you hope that Derek Barnett steps up and plays like the guy they thought he would be when they drafted him in the first round. And they do have some depth. They have a lot of guys, and you want to see who can step up and emerge this season. Is it going to be Derek Barnett? Are there other guys on that defensive line who may have a big season? Josh Sweat in his second season. They drafted Sharif Miller in the fourth round. They really liked what they saw from him in college, and in the spring he showed some flashes and some potential. They brought back Vinnie Curry. They allowed Chris Long to retire. They traded Michael Bennett to New England. So there's some question marks. There's definitely some question marks there. So we can talk about that also as well. And if you're looking at the Phillies after this big win and feeling a little positive that they've won 4 out of 6 after that embarrassing loss to the Dodgers, Drew Smyly gave them a terrific start today. I know he's not what anyone expects as the answer in the starting rotation, but they needed to upgrade the starting rotation in the number 5 starter position. And I still think they need at least one more solid, strong arm that not only can help them down the stretch, but can be here for next year and the year after that, and maybe long term. And they're heading to Detroit now. They have Monday and Thursday off, which is an opportunity if they want to go to a 4-man rotation instead of 5. That's something that they could think about with 2 days off this week. But they're going to Detroit. I'd love to see them bring back Matthew Boyd. I know he's going to cost a little bit. 610-632-0975. We do have some open lines. I'm Rob Motti on the Fanatic. Rob Motti. 610-632-0975. Have I told you the Philly Burger Brawl is back? The new date is Sunday, September 15. The new location is the Philadelphia Navy Yard. Enjoy unlimited bites of burgers from the top competing restaurants in the city. Proceeds benefit the Philadelphia School District. The event raises money to outfit underserved schools with the latest technology. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to phillyburgerbrawl.com. Every time I do that read, I get hungry. I can go for a burger right now. 610-632-0975. Take a quick look at where we stand on the Fanatic poll. It's still solid, over 1,700 votes, and it's solid at 44% say a successful season for the Eagles is a Super Bowl or bust. The title, win it all or bust. 43% say NFC title game. 13% are NFC East champions or one playoff win. So we got a majority of the fans, 87% of those who voted, expect nothing less than a Super Bowl appearance, with 44% saying, hey, you got to win it all or it's a bust. And that's a New England Patriot mentality. That's the New England fans' mentality. Anything less than a Super Bowl championship, they've won 6, and anything less is considered for them a failure. The Eagles are trending towards having that kind of expectation level. And we are 4 days away from training camp opening, and that's where we stand right now with the fans. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. If you're on the side of, hey, I don't know if they have to win a Super Bowl for it to be successful. And I know those are tough expectations. That's a lot of pressure to put on a team. However, they have the talent, and we don't know how the season's going to play out. I think last year everybody went into it thinking, all right, it's repeat or bust. But there were some injuries. There was some inconsistency. There was a lot of injuries. There was more inconsistency. And towards the end of the year, when it looked like they were out of it, you were just hoping they can get in and see what happens. And they did get in. It took a lot to get them in. It took some help from the Bears, who were already in, beating Minnesota in a final game of the regular season in Minnesota to knock them out and allow the Eagles to get in. And then they went on a road and beat the Bears. They had the Cody Parkey field goal that was partially tipped by Trayvon Hester, hit the upright. Come off, hit the crossbar, came off. Was it crossbar upright or upright crossbar? What? It was a double doink. Not quite like Kawhi Leonard's quadruple. They beat the Sixers. And then they go to New Orleans. They're up 14-0, and we know how that played out. But I think a lot of people at that point look back at it and weren't going to say, well, the season's a failure. So how do you look at this Eagles season as they get set for training camp? And what are some of the guys who you're most excited to see? And what are some of the question marks that you look at with this team? I told you I'm certainly excited to see DeSean Jackson in games. Saw him in the OTAs and in the mini camps, and he doesn't look like he lost a step at all. I'm excited to see what he could do in a game, but I'm looking at some of these guys like Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders, a guy like, to me, Dallas Goedert in his second year, I think is going to have a big-time season. Even J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, we're not even talking about Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar. Looking at a guy like Mac Hollins coming back, if he's healthy, which he should be. They have a lot of potential weapons on this team, and I think this offense has a chance to be dynamic. Not just a good offense, but this offense has a chance to be better than a 2017 offense. I really feel that way. I think that this offense can be better than they were in 2017 when they were clicking. Now, you got to look at a guy like Carson Wentz. That was only his second season in the NFL. I think he's a smarter quarterback. He's a better quarterback now. The question is, can he stay healthy? But he's now entering year four. He's coming off a relatively healthy offseason. And the last time he got to prepare as a starting quarterback and had a healthy offseason, he went into it and had the season he had in 2017. So I expect Carson Wentz to be even better than he was in 2017 now that he's healthy. And if he could stay healthy, I still think that there's more that he can, another level that he can get to, and some of the other guys around him, even a Zach Ertz, who wants to be a Hall of Fame type player.
I think he's one of the, I mean, that's one of the more exciting things to look forward to, too, is Carson, just because of the simple fact that, like you said, last year, whether he was compensating for the back or whatever, as a fan, you kind of saw that it didn't look like the Carson that we know and love, the guy who's like running around and standing in between five offensive linemen and throwing a pass to Corey Clement in the side of the end zone and things like that.
You're right, because he was coming back from the knee. We didn't know at what point he was going to feel completely ready to let it go. And I think he was still trying to feel his way back. He had the brace on. It's cumbersome. It's bulky. It feels restrictive. It takes a little bit of getting used to. And then whenever he developed the back issue, he was never really playing free football. So I think you look at him now, he's, I believe, a smarter quarterback. He's continuing to learn, continuing to study, and now he gets to play free football. So I certainly have high expectations for Carson Wentz. And I said this probably 2 months ago. I think he's going to be a Super Bowl MVP, not just a league MVP. I think he's going to be a Super Bowl MVP at some point, maybe within the next 2 years. 610-632-0975. We'll continue talking about the Eagles and your expectations for the season, who you're excited to see in camp. What do you think is the biggest question that this team needs to answer over the course of the next 6 weeks before the season starts? How many pairs of tickets do we have left, Tyler?
We got a couple pairs left we can give out.
All right, so we got a few more to give out, Fanatic Fan Fest tickets. If you have a player that you wish you could have seen play here in the city of Philadelphia for a longer period of their career, a guy like Roy Halladay. I just listened to a little bit of his wife Brandy's Hall of Fame induction speech on his behalf today in Cooperstown. And, of course, it was emotional, and it's tough. It's tough to listen to that. And the guy's just gone too soon, and you feel bad for the family, feel bad for his kids, that he's not there to appreciate it. But Roy is a guy who came here at the end of his career, had two phenomenal seasons for the Phillies in 2010 and 2011, won the Cy Young Award in 2010, finished second in Cy Young Award voting in 2011, then had an up and down year in 2012, and he was done in 13. That's a guy that you look back and easily say you wish could have been here for a longer period of his career. Had some good ones. T.O. was a winner earlier. My guy was Peter Forsberg. Tyler, you mentioned Roy Oswalt and Placido Polanco. You want to kick off our final hour with one of the Flyers that you have?
Yeah, sure. I'll go with the one I'll go with the defenseman. The first defenseman I have was Chris Pronger.
It's a great one. Chris Pronger was a absolutely good one. What was he here for? Just the 1 year before he got hurt?
Let me double check, but I think it was a couple years, and then he took the stick to the face, and he kept trying to come back and just never could.
Yeah, Chris Pronger is someone who it was such a huge acquisition for the Flyers. and we thought Chris is only, he's only 44 right now. So he came here. Yeah, you're right. It was more than a year. He was here in the '09-2010 season when they went to the finals and lost to the Chicago Blackhawks in six games. Then he played 50 games in 2010-2011 and only played 13 games in 2011-2012, and that was it. So I guess he took that stick to the eye in the 2011-2012 season, and that was it. He's definitely somebody that you would think. He came here. He had been a MVP at one point earlier in his career with the St. Louis Blues in the 1999-2000 season. And the Flyers got him after he went to Edmonton, then Anaheim. Came here at 35 years old, but he was fantastic as a 35-year-old.
And he was in the league so long that he played for the Hartford Whalers at the beginning of his career.
The Hartford Whalers. Wow. Going back to, two seasons with the Hartford Whalers, 93-94. In the 94-95 season, that's how long ago he was. Yet he's still only 44 years old. That's a good one. Looking forward to hearing your other player. I'm thinking of some guys. The one guy that I had mentioned earlier was Forsberg. Then there's another one who played for the Eagles that I absolutely look back on and say, man, you wish he would have been here for a longer period of time. If anybody can get that guy, the Eagle that I'm thinking about, that I'm talking about, we'll give you a pair of Fanatic Fan Fest tickets. Let's get to Wizzy. Is that Wizzy? Northeast Philly? You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Wiz?
What's going on, man?
How are you, buddy?
How you guys doing tonight?
Awesome.
Doing well. What the fuck with that Phillies win today? I thought that new pitcher Smiley did really well. You know, it's great to see another lefty in the rotation. I think it'll definitely help us, you know, a little bit down the road, especially if he keeps making, you know, 8 strikeouts a game. You know, it's pretty impressive for, you know, a guy whose career hasn't been that great.
Yeah, it's better than what they have with, you know, it's better than what they had. And he's a guy who, before the arm injuries, the Tommy John surgery, he was pretty good with Tampa in 2014. So maybe he can get back to being close to that. He gave him a great start today. They needed it. Huge win.
Yeah, it definitely was, you know, a big push for them. But one thing to really comment, the person that, you know, from a Philly sports team that I wish we had here longer, I would say Jim Thome. I love Jim Thome growing up. He was definitely one of my favorite Phillies as a kid. I wish he was, you know, stuck around here, got here a little earlier, you know, stuck around a little longer.
Yeah, no doubt.
Definitely one of my favorite guys, you know, to see in the city.
Yeah, I mentioned him a little bit ago. It's funny because towards the end, he was blocking Ryan Howard, and everybody was like, all right, it's time to move on from Jim Thome. But when he first got here, the last year of the vet, and then going into Citizens Bank Park, everybody was excited about him. Man, if they could have had him play most of his Hall of Fame career here in Philly, it would have been exciting for sure.
Yeah, definitely was exciting to watch. And, you know, I said last year at the vet and the first year at Citizens Bank, he definitely made it interesting, some of the longer runs he was hitting.
No doubt. I appreciate the call, man. Thank you, Wizzy. Have a great weekend. Let's get to, who's that, Chris in the Northeast? You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm awesome, buddy.
Good. The name I wanted to throw out was Drew Holiday. I just wanted to get that out there.
Oh, man.
I think he would have been a better fit than Ben Simmons, even if we had him now. And overall, I think he was someone who had more of a potential, a higher ceiling. We should have hung on to him.
Drew Holiday is a great one. We look at him as a guy that, man, you wish you had him back. He was moved. Sam Hinkie moved on from Drew Holiday, and he's ended up having a pretty darn good career for sure.
Yeah, I think now he would be a better fit than Ben Simmons. I think Ben Simmons has a higher ceiling.
Yeah,
but I just think fit wise, I think he can shoot. He can obviously shoot better than Ben Simmons, but he's just overall better.
Well, right
fit.
Now, you and I can shoot better than Ben Simmons.
Yeah, my daughter can shoot better than Ben Simmons.
I didn't even realize Drew was here 4 seasons. I thought he was only here 2. He was here 2009 through the 2013 season. I did not realize he was here 4 full years with the Sixers before he went to New Orleans. That's a good one. I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to qualify you, Chris, for a pair of Fanatic Fan Fest tickets. Tyler, get your information. We'll let you know at the end of the show if you won those tickets. Let's get to, Who do we have right here? Derek and Horsham. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Derek?
Awesome. How are you guys? I just want to talk a little bit of Phillies.
Yes, sir.
And I got a player for you guys, although it might have been said. I just tuned in. So I was just thinking, I've been high on this team all year. Thought they should be performing a lot better. Injuries, obviously, have been just an absolute killer. However, I would love to see them make a move for a starting pitcher, as long as they don't give up the prospect, the third baseman.
Alec Bohm.
Yeah, I mean, I think anything but him, I mean, I'm all in. You know, they still have a chance. They still have the team. I think they still have the lineup. I think, you know, a starting pitcher could take this team a long way. And personally, I just think the Braves are going to fall apart. I don't think they're as good as they've been.
I don't know, Derek. They're a good team. I mean, 6.5 games is a lot to make up. Not only that, you'd also have to catch the Nationals. I don't think at this point they could play for anything but a wild card, really.
I mean, I understand that. But, I mean, you know, you got to remember, just before, you know, we had some injuries, we were, what, 4.5 games up?
They were three games up. Yeah, they were three games up when they were 33-22. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, the Braves, you know, they haven't had any injury. I don't think their starting pitching is anything great. I think their lineup might be a little bit better.
Yeah, more balance and consistency. The guy I'd love for them to get, Derek, is they're going to Detroit. Matthew Boyd is a guy who is a terrific starting pitcher who's controllable for three more years. I trade young talent for somebody like that, as long as, like you said, not Alec Bohm, but you know that he's going to be here for three more years, because it's going to be hard for them to get another starting pitcher who could be a number one or number two after the season. So if they could do it season, do it.
That's what I'm saying. I think you have to. I mean, you got to make the move not only for now but for the future. But, you know, you can't give up our only prospect. You know, I mean, we don't have a farm system as is. So to lose someone like that, you know, for a year that might not even result in a playoff could you know, set us back a little bit.
Well, but, yeah, I mean, he's the third baseman of the future, so you definitely don't want to move on from him. Who's the player that is on your that you wish you would have seen longer here in Philly?
So again, I have I'm going to say one, but I do have another one, but definitely Keo, but I'm sure he's been set.
Yeah, he was the first one.
Perfect, thought so. You know who else I would love to have seen was the Freak, Javon Kearse. I would love to see him start his career here.
Yeah,
I mean, he was unstoppable. He was absolutely unstoppable. I thought we got him a little late in his career, but I mean, I would love to have seen what he could have done for this defensive line early in his career. Personally,
that's an absolute good one, man. I appreciate the call, the Freak. I remember when they got him and T.O. going into that 04 season, and it was towards the tail end of Javon Kearse's career, and he did help the defensive line that year for sure, but he had tremendous seasons before he got here. Absolutely a good one. Let's get to Frank in Bethlehem. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Frank?
Hey guys.
How are you, buddy?
First of all, I want to agree with you about the Eagles. I think as long as Wentz stays healthy, I think they're going to have a fantastic year. Because, like you said, you know, their offense is going to be, you know, in the NFL today, offense is winning games, not the defense like it used to be back in the day.
Man, you're right. It's all about the scoring, Frank.
Exactly.
These teams who can put up, it's not even about 28 points anymore. It's like 33, 34, 35 points.
Exactly. And you know, the bottom line is, I don't care how, you know, you got to outscore the other team.
You're right. I think a lot of that pressure falls on Carson. Yep. I think he's poised to have that kind of season, and he's going to go on to have that kind of career. Yeah. I don't think we have anything to be concerned about there.
That's good. Well, we're in agreement there. Now, I got my guy.
Okay.
And this is a lock. Jerome Brown.
Oh, man. Jerome Brown is absolutely a guy that, because of the circumstances, man.
Exactly.
I wish Jerome, I don't care if he would have played another down, just lived, you know?
Exactly,
But just to see what he could have done over the court. Now, could you, Frank, you're in Bethlehem, would you come down to the Fan Fest?
Unfortunately, I can. I have previous commitment. I'm going to actually be down in Florida at that time.
I know.
Became a grandparent for the first time.
No, that's awesome. Enjoy it, man.
See the baby.
Enjoy it. Well, thank you for that one. I appreciate it. You have a great rest of your weekend. Jerome Brown was that's definitely one that I wish we could have seen, not just because of his career, but for how it happened, man. I still never forget the day when Jerome, I was playing stickball. I was in the street playing stickball with my cousin to hear the news on sports radio, and I couldn't believe it. I absolutely couldn't believe it. Let's get one more in here before we get to the break. Willie in North Philly, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, Willie?
Yeah, how you doing, man? I just want to tell you my player real quick. It's somebody I think nobody has said yet. It's the general manager of our basketball team right now, Elton Brand. Could you imagine Elton Brand playing with Allen Iverson? I think they could have made another title run. Elton Brand was a top.
Willie, I didn't even think of Elton Brand like that.
Top 15 player in the league at one point.
You're right.
He was averaging 20-10 for maybe, what, 4 or 5 years without light?
Let me look. I'm going to look at his stats right now real quick. Elton Brand, because they went out and got Elton, what was it, 20? He was only 29 years old when they got him in 08. What's that?
I got another one. I think it was 08. I got another one, 42, with the Eagle. I think he was one of the greatest cornerbacks I ever seen in my life, Asante Samuel.
Asante, though, did have a lot of successful years here in Philly.
I'm saying if we had him during his Patriot runs.
Yeah. Although the year that they were undefeated, right, didn't he drop a pick that would have won the Super Bowl?
Yeah, he did.
Right?
I remember that.
Yeah, but he was shut down, man. I love Asante Samuel. He had some swagger. I appreciate the call, Willie. Thank you. I didn't have either guy on my list, but that was two good ones. I didn't think of Elton Brand, but if they had Elton Brand in his early in his career when he was first, he started with the Bulls, and then he was with the Clippers. He averaged like a 20-10 guy for a majority of his time there. He was somewhere 20-10. What was he about? Yeah, right there, 19-10, 19-10 through the first 8 seasons of his career before he came to Philadelphia. 610-632-0975. Alfred, John, James, Eli, Sinclair, hang on. I'll get to you next. Rob Motti on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. Buyers.
Welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti. This weekend's programming is brought to you by TurnersvilleJeep.com. During the Summer of Jeep sales event, save up to 25% off MSRP and choose from over 800 new Wranglers, Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, Compass Renegades, and the all-new Gladiator online at TurnersvilleJeep.com. We've been talking Eagles throughout the day, throughout the afternoon as they get set for training camp. What are your expectations for the season? Is it Super Bowl or bust, or would you be satisfied or consider it a success with anything less than that? And Roy Halladay today gets inducted into the Hall of Fame. His wife Brandy delivers a emotional speech, and there are guys that you look at and you know are absolute Hall of Famers right off the bat. I'm fortunate enough to be a baseball Hall of Fame voter. A guy like Derek Jeter coming up next year is going to be first ballot. Mariano Rivera, you know, was a first ballot guy. Roy Halladay gets in. He's a guy that you look back on, and he spent a short period of his career here, the end of his career here in Philadelphia, and you wish that he could have played here a whole lot longer. Who are some of those other guys out there that you wish you could have seen play more of their career in Philadelphia? Alfred in Burlington, you're on a Fanatic. What's up, Alfred?
Yeah. Hi, Rob, and how you doing this afternoon?
Fantastic, my man.
When you brought up that particular topic, you know, my mind just started clicking away, and I started thinking about all those wonderful athletes. But, you know, you mentioned that not only Roy Halladay, but you mentioned the subject of Jerome Brown came up, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't go there without, you know, getting that pang of, like, oh, what could have been, mm-hmm. you know, young lives cut short. And I really hate the injuries that cut absolute wonderful you know, Hall of Famers, people who would have been in the Hall of Fame, and that includes Ryan Howard, Don Mattingly. There's a lot of them. You know, that's always a sad thing too. The injury bugaboo. Anyway,
you're right. That you know, Ryan Howard, had he not torn his Achilles, I think was on pace to be a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
The numbers he put up over a 6-year stretch, where he averaged 44 homers and 133 RBIs, that's incredible. Incredible numbers.
And especially you know, the guys you know who are living and dying for the Philly fans and the teams that play here, and that you know get to Philadelphia. They get the area and stuff.
Yeah,
anyway,
no doubt.
But you can't mention Jerome Brown without thinking of somebody else. But I'm not going to bring it up because it's way too easy. Let me try something else. How about a particular Flyers goalie whose life was cut very short before he had a chance to really make an impact on the team? Pelly Lindbergh.
Oh, no doubt. Pelly Lindbergh is a guy, and he, right there with Jerome Brown. The only reason I didn't put him on my list is because I wasn't going that far back. What was that, 1985? I remember I was just a kid, man, when that happened. It was the same day then Ron Jaworski throws a 99-yard touchdown pass to Mike Quick in overtime, and the Eagles win, but nobody's really celebrating because Pelly Lindbergh had passed on. That day, died in that car accident, which was absolutely tragic. That's a great one, Alfred. And like you said, right there with Jerome Brown, you think of Jerome Brown, you think of Pelly Lindbergh, athletes who are gone too soon. Forget about what they did on the field and on the ice and on the court and everything else. Just, it's sad to see that happen. I appreciate the call.
Life. Can I give a real short story?
Sure, real quick.
Okay, another Flyers goalie that had great impact. Do you remember, I don't know, I'm giving away my age here, but way back when there was a competitive hockey, I think it was the World Hockey League, and Philadelphia had a team called the Philadelphia Blazers. And a friend of mine had season tickets, and I was there watching these games, the Philadelphia Blazers playing. And in walks Dave the Hammer Schultz and Joe Watson came in one time, and that was a big, one of the few really, really gung-ho black hockey fans. And anyway, so they came to see this particular goalie that they had who caught the attention.
What was his name?
Perrant, Bernie Perrant.
Oh, wow. How about that? I appreciate the call, Alfred. Thank you. Bernie Perrant. I didn't even know anything about the Philadelphia. I'll be honest, Tyler. Philadelphia Blazers? I don't. My Flyers history doesn't go back that far to Philadelphia Blazers. Let's get to Sinclair in South Philly. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Sinclair?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you, bud?
I'm chilling. I'm excited about the Eagles season, bro.
Man, how can you not be, right? The talent that they have. This is a season where if they stay healthy, you can certainly see them being in a Super Bowl, no doubt.
Exactly. My son asked me because we were listening to the radio earlier, and he was like, "Super Bowl or bust?" He said, "Dad, are they that good?" I said, "Yeah, I think they are."
You know, and most of the people, we did this Fanatic Twitter poll right now. 44% of those who voted in it say Super Bowl title or bust. They would not consider a successful season. And it's kind of like having that Patriot fan mentality. Why not?
It's all dependent on Wentz, man. He's got to stay healthy because I believe he's older. Yeah. More wiser, a little seasoned, and I think he's going to get the job done. Can I give you my guy?
Yeah, for sure.
Ricky Waters.
Oh, Ricky Waters is the guy. That's the guy I've been thinking about. I had Peter Forsberg and Ricky Waters at the top of my list. Now, he had three good seasons here. He had 1,273 yards, 1,411, and 1,110. Here's the amazing thing about Ricky Waters, too, Sinclair. He played all 16 games in 94, 95, 96 with the Eagles, and even in 97 with the Eagles, 94 with San Fran. To do that as a running back, 1, 2, 3, 4, even when he left here and went to Seattle, to play 7 straight years and not miss a game, that's incredible.
Right.
I'm going to put you on hold. You're going to get a pair of those Fanatic Fan Fest tickets, Sinclair. Tyler, get your information. Ricky Waters is one of those guys, man. He was only here 3 years. Before that, he was on the 49ers for 3, and then he went to Seattle for 4. And he was a guy who ran for over 10,000 yards. I think he should have got some more Hall of Fame consideration, for sure. Because not only could he run the ball, he could catch it, too. He had 66, 62, 52, 63, almost 500 career catches, 4,200 yards, 13 touchdowns, and that was before the league was so pass happy. So you still had a running back who was catching 50, 60 balls a season and running for 1,200, 1,300 yards. Ricky Waters, absolutely, guy. I wish we could have seen a whole lot longer here in Philadelphia. And how about how it started, the Tampa Bay game in 95, the who for what game? It's crazy to go from that to wishing that he was here a whole lot longer. James and William in Willingboro, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, James?
What's going on?
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. But I don't want to take nothing away from Ricky, but I think part of the reason he's not in the Hall of Fame and part of the reason that he plays 16 games all those seasons is because he makes comments like, When he went across the middle on that play, and you know what play I'm talking about.
Yeah, I just mentioned it.
He came up short, yeah. I mean, that kind of helps you stay in the league a little bit.
But you know what, James?
Other guys, I'm not taking nothing away from him. Great football player, great athlete, but, you know, I think that kind of rubbed people the wrong way,
I think that's kind of overblown, though, because here's the deal with Ricky. That particular game, I forget what the score was, but they got blown out. So does he go over the middle and get just absolutely decapitated in a blowout game or make sure that he could stay healthy for 16? He made sure he stayed healthy and produced. So I'm okay with a guy running out of bounds when you don't see any more yards. You know what I mean?
I agree with that, but, you know, I'm a Walter Payton fan. I'm a Chicago Bears fan, so.
Oh, well, sweet. This was incredible.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the one thing about his career, though, that bothered me a little bit? In the Super Bowl, where they gave Wood in the refrigerator Perry a touchdown.
Scored. Exactly.
Come on, Dicka.
My guy that I want to mention is Dikembe Mutombo. I think I was a Georgetown fan coming up. So I just, you know, appreciated his defense. And I think him and Allen, they could have probably done something if they had, you know, a little more help and a couple more years together.
That's a good one. I didn't have Dikembe on here, but you're right. If they had Dikembe Mutombo for a little bit longer or some more of his heyday, his prime, they could have done some damage. I appreciate the call, man. Thank you. Let's get real quick to Eli in Abington. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Eli? Eli. Is he there? Eli? Nope. All right. 610-632-0975. Let me try Jerry in Virginia. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Jerry?
Yes, sir.
How are you, buddy?
I'm taking you way back now to 1961.
Okay.
Sonny Jurgensen.
You're taking me way back. Sonny Jurgensen is a guy that you wish would have been here a whole lot. Tell me a little bit about his career.
Played 1 year with the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
They were 9-2-1, and the Giants beat them out for the league that year. They were 10-2. And that was after they won the championship in 1960.
So he was here in
1961.
I'm looking at his stats now. So Sonny Jurgensen was here 57 through 63. He played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years here, played in 83 games, only started 39, though, and then moved on to the Washington Redskins.
Yes, and then he became a Hall of Famer with the Redskins.
Yeah, he did. Now, he was the quarterback on the team. He wasn't a starter, though, but he was here when they won it in 1960. He went a little bit too far back.
Yeah, I think he started after Norm Van Brocklin retired after 1960 season.
You're right, yeah, because he started in 61, 62. So he was a backup for 4 years, and he did get a few starts his rookie year and won. But the year that he did start in 61, you're right, they were good. They were 10-4.
Yeah, and he became Hall of Famer, and that was the worst trade the Eagles ever made.
The worst one, huh?
They traded him for Norm Snead.
Wow. Wow, how about that? And Sonny just, all he did was go on to play until he was 40, and he made it into the Hall of Fame. Jerry, appreciate the call. Thank you. 610-632-0975. One final segment before D. Lineham takes over. Eli, Mark, hang on. I'll get to you next. Rob Motti on The Fanatic.
97.5.
The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti. Just a few more minutes until D. Lineham takes over. D's going to continue conversation on the Eagles, and she's going to talk with some Phillies, and has a great topic coming up too on in honor of Roy Halladay, one of those athletes who's just gone too soon, one of those guys who not just retired and is good, no, but gone too soon. It's unfortunate, and we've had some of those in Philly. We've had a lot of those too across the country. Let's get to Mark in Yardley. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Rob, how you doing?
I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
All right, I'm doing good. So I came into the conversation late. I just got in my car, but I think you were talking about the Eagles and what players you wanted to have around longer, right?
Yeah, well, I was talking about the Eagles. What would you consider a successful season? And then players in Philadelphia that you wish would have been here longer than they played.
All right, well, I have two players. One is LeGarrette Blount, and the other is Ricky Williams. Other than the for who, for what?
Ricky Waters. Williams. You said Ricky Williams. Ricky Waters.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Ricky Waters. Ricky Waters gave everything and anything that anybody possibly could give. And I've been an Eagles fan for, you know, since I've been a kid, like over 40 years. So,
Ricky Waters is a great one. It's been guessed. That was one that I had that I thought, man, he should have been one of the top ones on my list, and it's too bad. He was here for a good amount, 3 years in Philly, but he had a lot of success before, during, and after he was here.
No, and he got criticized for that. I think if the Tampa Bay game
first game of his career here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Other than that, he gave everything. And in that game, like you said, he probably deserved not to go over the middle. But outside of that, he gave everything and anything anybody, any player could ever give.
He did. And that game was, at that point when it happened, it was week one of the season. It was a 21-6 loss, and I believe it was late in the fourth quarter when that happened. And you know, I understood it, Mark, and he's a guy who, and I appreciate the call, man. Thank you. He's a guy who played 16 games, which is hard to do as a running back, for 7 straight seasons in the NFL. And some will say, well, yeah, it's easy to do when you're taking a playoff or you're not going all out. Hey, he took a lot of hits, and he took a beating. It's a guy who had 2,600 carries and 467 receptions. That's 3,000 times he was tackled. So if you want to take out maybe 2% of that he went out of bounds or that he didn't get hit hard, here's a guy who took a lot of hits over the course of his career, and I thought should have had some consideration for the Hall of Fame. Eli in Abington, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Eli?
Hey, what's going on, Rob?
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I definitely wanted to get into, I know we're talking about Eagles, but I wanted to get into Philly sports in general, especially this coming up fall. You know, we have the Sixers and the Eagles. Now, with the Eagles offense, and you know, our expectations that they're going to be, you know, firing on all cylinders. And also with the Sixers, I wanted to get your take on the Sixers bench. I think they're very athletic with their rookie Thybulle and Smith from last year.
Well, yeah, and it's coming back. I think they're, and you look at Zaire Smith, and the expectation is that here in his second year, now that he's going to be healthy, he had a lot of health issues last year. I think they go eight, nine deep, and like you said, Matisse Thybulle. So you look at Mike Scott and James Ennis and Matisse Thybulle. this is Zaire Smith. They have a chance to be, like you said, athletic and deep of a bench, and we'll see. I still would have liked to have seen them add Kyle Korver. It's too bad he ended up choosing to go to Milwaukee. But maybe they find someone else. They find somebody who can come in and be a three-point shooting threat. Doesn't have to be somebody who's going to start, certainly, because they have their starting rotation set. But it could be somebody who could come in and give them a couple big shots off the bench.
Right. I'm definitely hoping they can find that diamond in the rough, somebody that can spread the floor and, you know, open up some space and some lanes for Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid down low. Now, I do have two guys. I don't know if they were mentioned, but I was going to say DeSean Jackson, even though he's back now. But I just can't imagine, you know, the jumpstart of Wentz's career if he would have a weapon like DeSean Jackson. And my next guy was going to be Shady McCoy.
Oh, man, both of them good ones. Shady, because, you know, you look at his career, and he was the all-time leading rusher here in franchise history in Philadelphia, yet he goes and they've kind of struggled to find a guy, and they win a Super Bowl with Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount. Has Shady had how many 1,000-yard seasons since he's been gone? He had two of them, 1267, 1138. And you're right. I think the combination, Eli, of both of those guys is going to get you a pair of those Fanatic Fan Fest tickets. How about that?
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. My wife and I went last year, and we enjoyed every minute of it.
All right, my man. I'm going to put you on hold. Tyler, get your information. We'll give out a pair to Eli. The other two we're going to give to Chris, who had Drew Holiday, and Steve, who had T.O. for sure. Also, the two instant winners earlier in the show were the guys who guessed Peter Forsberg and Ricky Waters. Let me take one final look before I get out of here at the Fanatic poll that we put out at the start of the show. We asked you at the start, what would you consider a successful season for the Philadelphia Eagles? They're four days away from training camp opening up, and this is the final Sunday until February without football. So what would you consider a successful season for the Eagles? Almost 1,800 votes came in. 8% said an NFC East championship. That's all you're looking for, an NFC East title. 5% said a playoff win. 43% would be satisfied and consider it a success if the Eagles reach the Super Bowl, if they're NFC champions, that would, and they lose the Super Bowl, but just get there. And then a majority just beat out NFC champions. 44% say Super Bowl title or bust. Tremendous expectations on this Eagles team. 4 days away from training camp. We look forward to training camp coming, the season kicking off. Thank you for everyone who listened, who checked in, who called, who tweeted, everyone else. A great job out of Tyler Goldberg producing the show. Stay tuned. Dee Lynam's coming up next. She's going to take over and take you until midnight. Continue the conversation on the Eagles. Get into some Phillies, some athletes like Roy Halladay, who were just gone too soon from us, from this world. Congratulations to Roy and everyone else today who got into baseball's Hall of Fame. I will be back next weekend. Until then, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.